G3CFN? Hello, G3CFN? This is VS1DZ calling you. Are you receiving me okay? Over.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, Ralph, you got to help me out here. I'm, like, really parched, so thirsty. I need something to quench my thirst right now.
Tomato juice? No.
No, not tomato juice.
Carrot juice? No.
Not carrot juice.
Grape juice? No.
No, not grape juice. Is there anything else? Anything else you can give me?
Orange, yes, orange juice.
I'm not disputing that the Kevin and Bean show is popular. It's just, it's terrible. And it makes no sense. And it's awful. And why is it a thing?
And now.
Yeah? Well, around here, we call that Wednesday.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, we do. And yeah, it is Wednesday, the 30th of August, 2017. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Good morning, ladies.
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Bean.
You, kind of were losing that battle with your microphone there.
Yeah. Right? Nobody uses this mic, so I don't understand how this desk is always dirty, sticky, there's crumbs, the mic is just shifted. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they do in the late afternoons, early evenings here, but it's weird.
I don't either. I think we either have we have ghosts, or we have raccoons, or we have something happening in this room after we're gone. We may need to get this. We might have to set up a spy cam.
They also have a DJ's name that logs onto this computer, so I know who it is.
So mystery solved.
I'm just saying. What is wrong with you?
They do take the place apart every day after
Seriously?
The show, and then we have to rebuild it when we come in the morning, which is kind of weird. How's the air conditioning at K-Rock holding up this week?
It's okay for now.
Oh, good.
But you just jinxed it. You know that.
Yeah,
no, I don't think it
today.
Works.
Thanks, jerk.
I don't think I can say it and then it jinxes it. But you know how air conditioning works, man. It does at some point. The struggle is real and it loses. If you get enough 100-degree days in a row, air conditioning is like, oh, hell no.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be, how are you all handling? Are you the type of people who can just, how do you have to walk from my car to the apartment? It doesn't matter. Or are you the type of people who are just miserable in weather like this?
I'm miserable.
It's not too bad where I live, so I'm fine.
It's hate heat.
A little cooler in OC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you can't say it's unprecedented. Certainly Southern California has seen temperatures like this before, but this late in the season to have a stretch of 110 plus for some areas for so long is unusual.
It's gross.
That's for sure. It's supposed to be all next week, too, by the way. It's not like, oh, it's going away this weekend and then it's fall. No, next week it's going to be like this, too.
Yeah, people seem to forget that it's hot until November.
Yeah, every year.
Every year, people are like, why is it so, where are these fires coming from? Oh, every year.
Stupid Al Gore, right?
Right.
God. Hey, speaking of the weather, on the latest episode of Thanks for That Podcast, Bean, my little side podcast I did this week, I interviewed a very smart listener named Rob, who is a meteorologist, and I've always been fascinated with the science of meteorology. And I realized just in basic weather 101 terms, as I was talking to him, because we were talking about Hurricane Harvey, that I understand very little about how science works. I mean, he was explaining what to him were the most basic, like, day one meteorology things that you learn, and they were a little bit over my head. I'm embarrassed to say I don't feel like I have a mind for science, and I certainly don't for math. And that's why I come across so many stories where I just can't even wrap my head around what they mean or how it works. And this is one of them, and maybe you guys can help me out with it. This is, there's a collective of biologists that make music. They're called Biota Beats. And their mission statement is to explore the sound of the human, what's this word? Microbiome, I guess, the human microbiome. David Kong is an MIT synthetic biologist. He is also a musician and a community organizer. He has presented his latest work at Biohack the Planet conference in Oakland last week. Mm-hmm. Now, what the microbiome is they take bacteria from different parts of the body, they take swabs of it, and then they seal those swabs into laser-cut records to see what what it sounds like, what the bacteria from your body sounds like in different parts of the body.
Because
That's a fantastic question. Why,
how will that help us? Why would I want to know? What is the point of the study?
Exactly, Allie. They assigned a certain region of the record to each region of the body, and then they incubated it. In essence, the record player doubles as a petri dish plated with human bacterial cultures. Then an algorithm translates the images of the bacterial colonies into sound using data points like bacterial density and location on the record. You see why I'm lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see why I'm having trouble comprehending this.
Right.
So they take bacteria from, like, your belly button, for instance.
Okay.
They put it in a petri dish, and then it grows, and then somehow they have an algorithm that takes the image of that and converts it into sound? Okay, so I say all that to say they have released the sounds to the world. And I can now present for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show what your belly button sounds like. If you would be interested in hearing that.
It's not my belly button. It's like some guy named Steve.
Probably. It might even be Steve. Yeah. So here's your belly button. Does sound like something right off of Twin Peaks. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your armpit. Now, what's going on that's so different in your armpit than in your belly button that would make the sound so different?
Your armpit loves old Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
All right, here's your mouth.
Okay.
Again, I can't. Your feet? Wow, why are your feet dropping the bass? What's happening here? And finally, Chip, because I know you were going to ask, your genitalia. Right?
Yikes.
That's not a good weekend. Put them all together and you get the Human Body Biology Symphony. Maybe at some point maybe it kicks in. Oh, look at that. So this is music created by bacteria from your feet, your belly button, your armpit, your mouth, and your genitalia.
This new Nine Inch Nails record's great.
It does sound just like that, doesn't it? So I guess...
And in the article it said why they're doing this?
Let me look again, because
okay.
It didn't seem like they were curious about it. It seemed like they wanted to find out what your bacteria would sound like.
All I know is I'm going to start a crowdfund. I'm going to have Will Hong Hart do this for the next album.
I feel good about it, yeah.
I think this isn't terrible, by the way. I don't actually hate this. Kong's real goal is to make something that gets diverse groups of people interested in biotechnology. And he asks the question, what if you could take microbes from Q-Tip or Questlove and make a record from it?
Yeah, I'm good not hearing that anymore.
You're fine with music being made by musicians, it sounds like.
Yes.
All right, fair enough. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What kind of swirling vortex of up are you running over there?
Well, that's a good question, but we'll see how today's program goes. It is Wednesday, and I think you know that means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Always excited about that. We had a conversation on the air based on a story that Ralph brought up during Showbiz about a person who was working on the crew of the Katy Perry tour who had a terrible accident on set or on stage and lost a toe.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of conversation about how much that toe would be worth to you if you lost it. Like, what's a jury at some point? Or maybe a judge, I don't know how it works in Florida, is going to have to decide what that toe is worth.
And obviously a big toe, which it was, has got to be worth more than a pinky, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So we wanted to find out. So we reached out to the best personal injury attorney we could find and or afford. And Sweet James Bergeron, Sweet James is going to be joining us.
Bergener.
Is that what it is?
Thank you. Yeah, Bergener.
By the way, I looked on Sweet James' website, and he recently got a dog bite victim, $340,000. So he's not playing around. He's big money, Big James, Sweet James. So we'll talk to him about that toe coming up. James's friend Petros Papadakis is going to be on the program today with a preview of the college football season, including the USC Trojans and UCLA Bruins. That's going to be in the 7 o'clock hour. Peel, stick around for the Bachelor in Paradise report with Ralph and Petros just after 7:30. Michelle Beadle, your friend Michelle, is going to be on the program today, Allie.
Delightful.
doing her part. She's put together a phenomenal eBay auction to raise money for the victims of the Houston flood, which I think is it's the best kind of charity because you get something out of it and you also are helping people too.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely a win-win. USC football tickets you can win also. And we're going to do a phone topic today in the 8 o'clock hour. You found out something terrible about the person that you were dating. And I'm nervous about that. I think there could be some really awful things that happen.
Can't wait.
You're looking forward to it. All of that straight ahead. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat when we return after this on K-Rock. One week from tomorrow, those boys are going to be back at K-Rock performing live the afternoon of the 7th of September. That's next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, in the HD Radio Sound Space. Our man Stryker is going to be in there hosting and interviewing. You're going to be able to watch that thing live. And how does it work, guys? I don't have the paperwork in front of me. If people want to be there in person, what do they have to do? Is it a KRock.com thing, I'm imagining?
I believe so, yes.
All right.
I don't have that paperwork.
Yeah. We'll
so
have tickets the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have tickets all weekend long. All right, good deal. So if you're a Fall Out Boy fan, definitely be listening to K-Rock. It's 5:54 here on a Wednesday morning. Ralph joins us for our first look at the show. Bean, how are you, sir?
You would think that Bean having a podcast would protect us from
hearing bacteria?
This is what your an armpit sounds like.
That was an interesting story. I didn't fully understand it, but I thought it was interesting. That
how was it interesting? What was it even?
It's science.
That's a great question, by the way. What was it even? Look, again,
this is the noise bacteria is naturally making on your body. This is like 9 steps removed from that. A guy took some bacteria and pressed it into a record and put it on a Victrola and then recorded it backwards. And then he thought maybe this was something and he played something else.
I don't understand the science behind it. I don't understand the intent behind it. But I thought it was interesting to hear how different the bacteria sounded from different parts of your body, and I don't.
But that's not what it sounds like, because it's not a natural occurring sound a bacteria makes. It's some guy pressed it into a record. You said,
Yeah, it was an image of the culture once the bacteria was put into a petri dish. Yes, that's right.
Okay. Well, I'm bringing in music then of a bunch of different farts from people.
I don't think we need that.
No, it's the same thing. It's just some sound.
I didn't look. Right?
No. Well, not said. Look. There's a million stories in the world that are real things.
I thought it was interesting.
I still have Muggs' farts, by the way, if you want them.
Yes, by all
means. I mean, they are melodic.
See? No.
At least this is real sound that actually happens somewhere in the world.
All right. That's an unfair comparison.
And this is the symphony of Muggs' butt. There. That's my story for the morning. I hope everyone enjoyed.
Sadly, no need for a petri dish. That's just that studio.
Exactly.
It's just its
own real
studio.
Life right there. There, man.
That bacteria is still in there all over that studio. Look, that story wasn't for everybody, but I thought it was interesting enough to share. That's all.
You have a podcast for this reason.
But I thought this was too good.
This is the steam valve that releases so that the whole place doesn't blow.
I thought that was too good to save for the podcast. That had to be shared here on the mothership. All right, that's enough. Thank you, Muggs. So you enjoyed the story, is my takeaway.
It was unbelievable.
So you're driving in and you're thinking, no.
Can I turn around on the freeway?
Oh, I'm not feeling well. I have to call in.
Sadly, again. I was here already. I had no options.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not everything is for everybody, Ralph. You understand that.
But can't some things be for somebody when you're making those decisions? Can't you try to strive for that?
You don't think this is
something, and it may be for somebody, versus, this is nothing, and I'm sure it's for no one. Let's talk about it.
You don't think I hit one person? You don't think there was one person listening who thought, huh, that's interesting? Maybe?
Probably Dave.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
Seriously.
All right, let's...
She Bean was like, what was this again? What are we talking about and why?
I didn't get what its point was.
No
and
one
there
did,
wasn't
Allie.
A point,
it wasn't
so
your fault.
There was no need for the study
or
really...
the sound or that break. Yeah. That's what everyone's saying.
That's why we did it before we went on the air, because the show doesn't start till 6.
How about Sandra Bullock? Isn't she the best?
Yes.
She is the best.
Found out yesterday that she has donated $1 million of her own U.S. dollars to the American Red Cross to help the victims of Hurricane Harvey in Texas. Sandra herself has a home in Austin, Texas. And she told People magazine, there are no politics in 8 feet of water. There are human beings in 8 feet of water, which is about as straightforward and simple as you could put it. So she's doing a great job. Houston native Beyonce is also putting together a plan to try to help as many people as possible. Kevin Hart has donated a considerable amount of money. The Rock, Lin-Manuel Miranda, DJ Khaled, Nicki Minaj, others are supporting the victims there financially and with other plans as well. So a lot of people stepping forward in the show business community to try to help those folks out. It's just a horrible, horrible disaster.
And how about J.J. Watt, by the way?
Yeah, he's done. What's he up to, $5 million now?
That's his goal, five. He's over four.
Yeah.
Nope, he just changed the goal.
What's it now?
New goal, $6 million.
Six? Oh, my
gosh. They're up to $5
million. I thought he had five already.
Yeah. I think, what was the original? They wanted $200,000.
$200,000. That's what he started with, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I don't know if you can keep moving the bar like that. That's kind of cheating, don't you think? Don't you think it's cheating a little bit?
No.
Like, oh, now it's six. Case. Oh, did I say six? Oh, I meant seven.
Not
it's cheating.
In this case.
Sounds like a patriot. It's like a patriot move right
you?
There.
A, he's a great man, but he will never be a patriot.
Disney has also stepped up. They've donated $1 million to the Red Cross, which is pretty cool. Apple, $2 million. So a lot of people are really, really doing a lot. And a lot of companies, you know, people you think of, well, a big business and big corporations as heartless behemoths, but Anheuser-Busch, they've had breweries in Georgia stop making beer, and instead they're just brewing the fresh water they have there and sending out as cans of drinking water for the Red Cross.
Oh, boy, that's needed, too.
Yep. Miller Brewing Company's doing the same thing in that area. Folks at Walmart have shipped 2,000 kayaks to Houston. You don't think about that, but that's necessary to navigate those waters. So a lot of good people doing good things in the face of some horrible tragedy.
And what a historic storm. I mean, to be the storm that dumped more water than any storm in recorded history in America.
Yeah.
It's just terrifying.
But apparently you can still wear high heels and get around there. Apparently.
Well,
that's what they were saying yesterday.
It's a choice.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Louis Black. Oh, the best.
I was in a movie with him.
Yeah, you were.
Oh, I forgot. You were in Perky Presenter, right?
I was the Perky
Presenter.
Perky
Presenter in 3D, wasn't that the film?
No, that's a very different film. Oh. But he was the lead in my film.
You were the co-star, though.
Yeah. No.
I mean, that one scene on a TV in an airport, that was you, right? That's you co-starred.
I wish Louis Black had heard this morning's break at the top of the show.
I think he would have enjoyed it very much.
I would like to take heard his take on that. Are you telling me there are people underwater in Houston and you're playing the sound of someone's genitalia? Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Michael Chiklis is 54 years old today, and Cameron Diaz turns 45. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday morning. This hour, by the way, we'll spin the wheel of bad animal voices. And don't forget, the new 2017 K-Rock Summer Sticker is now available at all SoCal Hot Topic locations. Our man Beer Mug this afternoon is going to be in Orange, by the way, at the location down there. You can head on down. He'll have lots of concert tickets to give away. You can go to krock.com, enter the password on the back of the sticker, whatever location you pick it up at, and qualify to win a bunch of great prizes, including front row seats to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl, a private show from the band in your garage, which is just amazing. Here's what I love about this, Allie. Mm-hmm. It's great to win a car. It's great to win the concert tickets. It's great to win the gift card. You can't buy Green Day coming to your house.
You wouldn't think you could.
You cannot. I'm telling you right now, you can't hire Green Day to play your house. But you can win it.
I think you can, really.
Really?
I don't think you can. You pay them a couple million, they'll come to your house.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. This is better, though, because this is free.
It is.
A private show from Green Day in your garage you can also win. Just fill out the back of, take the number off the back of the sticker and put it at krock.com.
I like it.
Are there any words that give you the heebie-jeebies?
Yes.
Words you'd be willing to say out loud?
Moist.
Really? You're a moister.
Nope, I am not. I hate that word.
Why?
I can't. It's just, no.
But have you ever stopped to think about why? Why does that one word give you the heebie-jeebies?
Yeah, because it's gross.
Why is it gross?
I don't want to explain to you why it's gross, Bean, but trust me, it's gross.
Well, maybe this news report will help make some sense of it.
It's the word that everyone hates. It sends shivers down people's spines and makes their face cringe. Why does this one word evoke such an intense reaction? Why is the word that shall not be said moist?
Why do you say it like that? Oh, my God.
Moist.
No!
Well, Now I don't even have to go on with this story. Now I can just play.
Moist.
All right. So they have done research into why that word, more than any other word, is the word.
Man.
And by the way, you're going to be surprised to hear. What do you think the percentage is of people who feel like you do, Allie, that have a problem with that word?
I'd say over 50. So let's go 63.
You say 63. And again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about
moist. Whoa.
All right, let's find out.
Moist psychologically is a very loaded word. According to a research study conducted by psychology professor Dr. Paul Thibodeau, around 18% of American English speakers...
18%!
Huh.
That's all it is. So the vast majority of people are completely fine with that word, but those people who hate it are pretty vocal about
and
it.
And I don't think they've heard him say it.
Yes, the way he says it might up that number considerably.
Hate the word moist. And the hate behind moist stems from words association.
When I think of the word moist, other words I think of are sponge, sticky, thick.
Go on.
Yeah, you know, I kind of start thinking of, maybe some, like, bodily fluid type of grossness, maybe some, like, sweatiness, or I don't want to use the word discharge, but I just said discharge.
Oh, sure. My God, it's too early for this bean.
He's not making it any better, is he? Is that the problem with you, is the association with bodily functions? Is that your moist problem?
Yeah.
It is okay?
The word moist is fine. I don't care about the word moist. I've never hated it.
Dr. Thibodeau looked into three hypotheses. Maybe it was the way moist is pronounced that disgusts people. Or possibly it's the word's connotation that makes people cringe. Or it could be that people are simply jumping on the cultural trend that moist is a gross word.
By the way, I think there's a lot of that going on. I think moist is one of those things, like people who are say they're afraid of clowns because other people are afraid of clowns. I don't think they have any problem with moist, but they know that that's the thing to not like is moist. I honestly believe there's a lot of bandwagoning going on.
Moist clowns.
Moist clowns are the best clowns. I also don't know why this psychological study has to have this dance bed underneath it. I don't know why.
It's very peppy.
I don't know why everything has to have music on it, but it does on the internet.
Posers.
I don't hate the word moist because other people hate the word moist. I'm perfectly capable of hating my own things all by myself.
Participants were asked what they thought of the word moist when grouped together with other words like phlegm and vomit and words related to sex. Dr. Thibodeau also asked what they thought of the words that sound like moist, like foist and hoist and rejoice.
Now, how about that, Allie? Do you have any problem with hoisting and foisting?
No, why would I? They don't...
But they sound so much like moist, though. Well, let's find out.
Foist is an awesome word. Hoist is the awesome word. Rejoice is an awesome word.
I know. I don't mind those words. I think hoist is a word that is necessary in conversation sometimes.
When was the last time anyone used the word hoist?
Monday.
Oh, really? All right.
I'm going to hoist that over my head.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You actually used it in a sentence. Okay,
no.
That's fine.
The result suggested that people don't like the word moist because of its connection to body fluids and functions and phlegm and vomit. But that's not all. The study also found there was a bandwagoning effect happening.
Okay, here you go.
When researchers showed two groups, two different videos, one where male celebrities are awkwardly saying the word moist.
All right, now here's going to be the key that's going to break you of your dislike for the word moist. Listen to what they showed the second group. The first group is celebrities awkwardly saying the word moist. Here's what they showed the second group.
And one where moist is being used to describe cake.
Boom! When you hear the word moist, Allie...
You really think you healed me?
Yes.
No.
You don't think phlegm. You don't think discharge. You think cake.
I recently had a server describe the cake as the moistest cake they've ever had, and I was like, I'm out.
But that's a delicious piece of cake right there. Moist cake is the best cake.
Well, moist cake can be something else, too.
Oh, no.
Only the group that watched the first video reacted negatively.
I sort of feel like if there is a bandwagon, something is genuinely wrong with that word.
Don't jump in the bandwagon. If all your friends jumped off the word moist, would you...
There you have it.
Okay, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The scientific survey on the word moist, 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 moist. Allie, I'm not going to lie. I'm getting pretty excited about Friday's K-Rock cover song show.
Are you?
I really am. And, you know, we put out the plea for folks to call the Afro line if they want to make a request to be played on Friday morning's All K-Rock Cover Show. That's 323-520-AFRO. People were texting by the hundreds yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of, I mean, in the long history of K-Rock, there's a bunch of songs it's easy to forget. But some of the suggestions, like Smashing Pumpkins doing Depeche Mode's Never Let Me Down Again, one of my favorite covers. Hoping we have a chance to play that. Somebody suggested last night, I'd totally forgotten that this was a cover, was Sublime, Smoke Two Joints. cover of the Toy Song, which is a great song. Mm. So we are putting the You Sound Unimpressed, Ralph.
No, that's a great song.
We are putting the list together. Friday is going to be all K-Rock cover songs all day long on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, Ralph, I'm glad you're in here now because it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices because it's Wednesday.
No.
Yeah. It's Wednesday.
I'm here to put a stop to this.
Nope.
This is nonsense.
I think
it's
once you hear the animals that are on the wheel, you're going to be into it.
See, this is what I don't understand, Ralph, about you poo-pooing this feature. Allie's going to read the stories that it could land on, and every one of them you're going to hear, and you go, wow, that sounds super interesting. I'd love to hear what's going on. I want more information.
Yeah. One of them is the musical bacteria that comes from your foot.
Unfortunately not.
That's on the list.
No. It is not.
What is on the wheel today, Allie?
All right. So far, we've got the monkey waiters at a Japanese bar.
See, now, why wouldn't you want to know more about a restaurant that has monkeys as waiters?
I got the whole thing right there. I think there are monkeys that are waiters in a Japanese bar. I think we've got all the information we need right there.
But there have to be details about how that works. That would be fascinating.
They carry food and drinks to tables because they're waiters. That's what they do.
Might I interest you in zombie caterpillars that are exploding to their deaths?
Oh, wow, that sounds dramatic.
This one's a little sad because we would have to contact Heaven for this.
Oh, good.
The Ohio Zoo orangutan that loved The Price is Right.
Once again, so I think we got everything we need in that one line.
The orangutan who loved The Price is Right has passed away?
He has passed away.
So he's newsworthy because he enjoyed a television program.
I don't know.
No, I do.
Okay.
That's what you said.
All right.
You just said that.
I did. Yeah. I just said that. What about Mr. Jingles, the iguana-biting cyclist? He would run up next to people on their bikes and
bite them. He was an iguana-biting cyclist? Now, I would like to talk to that guy.
All right.
He goes around biting iguanas. He's a cyclist who goes around biting iguanas. That sounds awesome.
I think it's the other way around. I think he's a cyclist biting iguana, I think is actually what it is.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, not what it...
Different story. Well, it went through the Dave Sanchez, Dave to English translation.
Oh, I didn't know the Dave prism involved.
The blue dogs of Mumbai. Why are they blue? Right? Wouldn't you like to know?
I absolutely would like
to know.
They're
lonely.
Or what about the hawk that caused a 40-acre brush fire in Montana trying to grab a snake?
Oh, that sounds like just a misunderstanding.
That's crazy, right?
All right. Let's find out. Let's spin the wheel, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but can't.
Let's give it a spin. I don't know. I'm fascinated with the monkey waiters. What happened to the music? Music died already?
It fades out. It fades out. Oh, we've got to call Heaven. Talk to that orangutan.
Yay!
All right. We haven't dialed up the hotline to Heaven in a while. So he was in the Ohio Zoo and he's passed away? All right.
Yeah. 45 years old.
Holy moly.
Yeah, he actually surpassed the oldest orangutan by 10 years. They're supposed to live about 35.
Well, maybe that's the power of good television. Let's find out. Dial up. He was in Ohio, now he's in Heaven. That seems like a little bit of an upgrade, right? What's his name, Allie? Do we know?
JJ.
JJ.
Mm-hmm.
The next contestant on The Price is
JJ is still watching The Price is Right in Heaven. JJ.
Hello?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean Show. We got a Bean here and Allie McKay calling from Los Angeles, California.
I'm watching television.
Oh, well, we don't want to interrupt, but you're...
You are interrupting.
Aren't you in heaven where you have all the time in the world for the rest of eternity, though?
The Price is Right is on.
Could you pause it maybe just for a couple minutes and chat?
All right. What?
Thanks, JJ.
Do you have a DVR up there in heaven or is it old school just over the air?
This is how you're starting.
Pause the show for a minute.
What kind of technology was available? That's all. Why so much love for The Price is Right? As an orangutan, I don't see a natural connection between the two things.
Really?
Yeah.
First of all, orangutans love to shop.
See, I had no idea.
They're known as the shoppers of the jungle.
Are you sure about that? Because I've never heard that.
Well, How many orangutans have you known?
That's a good point, actually.
We go through the forest or the woods or the jungle, wherever we live, and we like to price things. We say, oh, how much for that banana? I'll give you some grubs. And how about a stick full of termites? It's bartering at its finest.
I didn't even realize that. That makes a lot of sense there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And we also love to spay and neuter.
Mm. Oh.
That's why we love Bob Barker. That's the only ones I watch are Bob Barker ones.
You got no time for the Drew Carey episodes?
No. He gave a stripper friend of mine the clap.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about that night. So how do you like heaven compared to living in the zoo in Ohio?
It's better.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, heaven's better than a zoo in Ohio. But good question. Very astute. Didn't you used to work for 60 minutes?
Wait, you're dead and you're making fun of me. Come on,
that's
JJ.
Right. Yeah. I'm the lucky one. I'm dead. It's the listeners I feel bad for, the ones who are alive. Put the Bob back on. I got to see Plinko. Plinko's coming up. I love Plinko.
Okay.
Yeah.
$700.
Oh, too high.
The actual retail price is $1,360.
Oh, $1,360. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, you missed that one, JJ.
I was going to guess a stick full of termites, but that would have been wrong.
Didn't come up, no. Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KRQ. Next hour, big hour here on K-Rock. Petros Papadakis is going to be in here with a preview of the college football season and... P and Ralph will break down last night's Bachelor in Paradise. So last night was the return of Corinne, Ralph?
Yeah, they brought her out to talk about the shutdown and the aftermath, and it was interesting.
Is she more villain or more victim, would you say?
Neither. They both, both DeMario and Corinne, have had their lives turned upside down by something that was largely, if not completely, out of their control. They did what they did, but neither one of them apparently had a problem with it afterwards. It was some third party involved in the production that caused all the problems.
How about that? All right.
And sadly, I don't think we're ever going to get a sit-down interview with that person. That's the person I'd like to hear from. Not so much Corinne, who said last night, I don't think DeMario did anything wrong, and I have no problem with him. And DeMario said the same thing last week, so...
But that mystery person probably erred on the side of being cautious, though, just to make sure that there was no... Nothing out of control, right?
Yeah, I suppose that was the case.
It might be all right.
But no one else came to the same conclusion.
Right. All right, that's coming up. And also, we'll get the answer to the question you posed yesterday on this show, which is how much is a toe worth?
Right.
If you lose a toe in the cost of doing business, how much is it worth?
Like Sweet 800 James, bucks. Like 800
Sweet,
bucks.
Sweet James himself, James Bergener, is going to be joining us coming up right off the top of the hour to answer that question. He's a personal injury attorney, one of the best.
Who was that again? One more time?
Sweet James Bergener.
Oh, okay. Well, just impressed. Mm-hmm. Got the whole name this time. Yeah. That's nice.
All together.
I know.
In a row.
Last one and everything.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Out here's Ralph.
Speaking of Bachelor and Bachelorette, Vanessa Grimaldi has finally surfaced after her breakup with that evil Nick Vile. It's right there and in his name.
Yeah.
Vile.
It's Thursday.
Right? Yeah, they have separated after 5 long months of engagement. And she showed up on Instagram. You could just from a picture of her from behind, just leaning over with her head on a friend's shoulder, with the caption: "It's okay to feel broken. It's okay to cry. It's okay to lean on a friend because in the end, it will always be okay." So it's a sad story, but a hopeful story, Alan. I bought the film rights, and we're going to be making a movie about that next year.
Can't wait
year.
Not yeah. to watch it.
Ralph, she sounds like she needs comforting.
She does need comforting.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you bought that house in Montreal.
You see where you're pointing.
Right?
You get it.
You told us you bought a house up there in Canada when you heard she was splitting up with Nick.
Yes.
So you're available. I just put it out there for you.
Yeah. You know what the real loser is in this Hurricane Harvey disaster? It's American Idol. They had to cancel their auditions in Houston. Can you imagine? Can you imagine
the... I don't think it's really the real
horror,
victims.
The disaster. Really. That's where we all lose, right?
And America said, thank you.
See? I'm kidding. That's the silver lining, right? That American Idol auditions
exactly.
are canceled.
Who's judging those auditions besides Katy Perry? Have they named the other judges yet?
There is...
Count Smokula.
Count Smokula is one. Katy Perry, Count Smokula. Mm-hmm. Who's the other one, too? What was the other one? Chip, I think we had one more. Nope. Nothing. Just play some audio. Anybody.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, I wish. She'd be great.
Jeez, when I don't want him to play names, I get nothing but an hour and a half of names.
Yeah, yeah, that
happened. Now I'm begging for
a name.
Sam
Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
Magic Dick.
Flavor Flay.
Hi, this is Luther Vandross.
I don't think
Lady Gaga!
She's busy.
I don't know who the other judges are, but I do know that we don't want American Idol back. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one
No one is excited about American Idol coming back. No one.
Be real.
Not even Be Real. You know what I'm excited about? It's this new movie, It. This new Stephen King movie, It.
Yeah.
Looks
Yay!
Awesome. Bill Skarsgård picks up the mantle from Tim Curry and plays Pennywise the Clown in this film. Everyone is excited about It. Well, not quite everyone. You know who's not excited about It?
Clowns?
The World Clown Association has announced that they're ticked off.
Oh, no.
At the movie It and Bill Skarsgård and his terrifying performance of Pennywise the Clown. It's giving them a bad name and it's costing them jobs, they claim. The WCA president, Pam Moody. Oh, Pam Moody's got to be a catch, right? I'm just guessing Pam Moody. She's the president of the World Clown Association. Yeah. She's got to be every man's dream. She said she's had several library and school shows for clowns canceled because of kids' fear of Pennywise the Clown.
No, you haven't, Pam.
But Pam says that Pennywise has nothing to do with clowning.
Mm-mm.
Don't confuse Pennywise with real clowns.
No. How about those clowns last summer who were dragging kids off into the woods that are never seen again? Didn't that put a damper on clown business?
First of all, that never happened.
That's what I heard.
That was incorrect.
I heard there were a million kids
there
abducted by a clown.
There were appearances of a few clowns near some wooded areas in some towns.
And people just vanished.
No one vanished. She does mention that did not help the situation, nor did the horrific clown from American Horror Story.
Oh, right.
What was
his
name?
Yeah.
Twisty.
Yeah,
like
Gippy. What?
Twisty.
Nippy?
Twisty.
Nipsy?
Twisty.
Nipsy?
Twisty.
Twisty.
Twisty. Nippy is a terrifying clown. So chilly.
We got to call Nippy the clown.
Is that horns? You don't want to know. What Nippy squeezing to get that sound? You don't want to know.
So it's a hard time to
it's
be a clown.
It's a hard knock life
right.
for a clown is what I'm saying.
Hey,
oh, Nippy.
Since we're on the It topic.
Hey, kids. Nippy.
Since we're on the clown topic, should we
what?
Just go ahead? Should we go ahead and give away the K-Rock screening tickets here since we're already talking about It?
I don't know. Can I? Hey, Beer Mug, is that all right with you?
Yeah.
All right, great. Let's give away our tickets to It. Oh, boy, I sure wish I'd come prepared with that information.
I got it. K-Rock Advanced screening of It at the Arclight Hollywood on September 6th is what we're giving away tickets for. It opens later that week, but you get to see it early if you want to go. If you're a clown fan, let's support the clowns
right?
by going to see It, right?
Let's throw the clown a bone. Throw Nippy a bone.
Adaptation of the wonderful Stephen King book. So what caller's numbers do you want here, Ralph?
I want callers 3 and then
you're such
9.
Such a jerk.
All right, 3 and then 9.
Right, then 12.
12, all
and
right.
And 13.
Okay.
And then 24.
All right. 3, 9, 12, 13, 24.
Right.
Call now 1-800-520-1067. You get a chance to see the K-Rock Advanced screening of It.
Tell them Nippy sent you. today's celebrity birthdays, Louis Black is 69, Michael Chiklis is 54, and Cameron Diaz is 45. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is how you wake up. That's how you start your day right there with some news on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin Bean Show for a Wednesday morning. I'm very excited right now, Allie. Radio's dense beard of justice is on the line. Are you ready for some Sweet James?
I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, your personal injury attorney, Sweet James Bergener, joins us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock for the first time, but I feel like we know you from all the years of hearing you on the Petros and Money Radio Show. How are you, James?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're great. It's such a thrill to have you and your beautiful baritone voice on the program here today.
Well, when the Kevin and Bean Show calls, I answer.
Well, we appreciate that. Now, you are a personal injury attorney. What kinds of things do you usually do in your business? Is it car accidents? Would that be the most of the things you do?
Yeah, that would be the majority. But dog bites, we've done police shootings, slip and falls, everything, all sorts of weird stuff too.
Your website, you have some of your recent cases, just brief synopses, and one of the ones you mentioned was a dog bite, and the person got over $300,000 for getting bit by a dog.
Yeah.
Was that an exceptional case that required that much of a payout?
Yeah, that was that person had severe injuries because of that. So that was commensurate to the injury sustained. Yeah.
Wow.
Chihuahuas, am I right?
Vicious little chihuahuas.
So have you had much experience, James, with people who lose body parts? They're not just bit, they're not just hurt, they don't just hurt their back or something like that, but they actually lose a toe or a finger or an ear or something like that?
Yeah, a couple of years ago I had a guy and he lost his arm in an accident.
Oh.
And it pained me. This guy was going through so much, but I'd get off on the phone with him and he was always so upbeat and fun. He's like, all I want to do is settle this case, put a pool in my backyard, and swim in circles. That's exactly what he said. The nicest guy. And guess what? We got him a pool. So, yeah, we're familiar with this.
All right. Well, I don't know if you've seen this story that's in the news right now, but it involves a lawsuit that has been filed by a stagehand for Katy Perry's last world tour. She's working in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she is asked to help move a wall. Her name is Christina Fish. All right. So the wall gets stuck and it rolls over her foot. Now, I'm going to give you some of the details of the case because I know that that helps a lot when you're determining like fault and whatnot.
Correct.
She says so a wall rolls over her foot. She says she felt her shoe fill up with blood. She was offered ice, but no one called for an ambulance. So she called a friend to pick her up and take her to the ER. Fast forward, her right big toe became gangrenous and eventually had to be amputated. Boy, I wonder how it went so horribly wrong there. Well, I wonder what happened that would have caused that to be the case. I don't know what the original injury was. Do you, Allie? Like, what happened to her? It was more than just a broken toe, right? Do we think it was severed by the wall?
I wouldn't think it would still be on in order to get gangrene.
Yeah, I don't understand what happened there. She says she wasn't able to use her foot for months. She also suffered great emotional distress because orthopedic doctors instructed her to keep her dead toe on as long as possible before the eventual amputation. Now, emotional distress, James, that's got to be a big part in what the ultimate settlement is going to be is how disastrous is this for you in your life to go forward when something like this happens to you, right?
That is one of the factors we look at, absolutely.
Christina said that she had a passion for yoga, and that is now a distant memory without a toe. Now, is that a balance thing? Can't do yoga if you don't have a big toe? Is that what she's suggesting there?
I would assume so, yeah.
So she's suing Katy, Live Nation, and a bunch of stage production companies for a whole lot of money. So that's the story on TMZ. So I know that not all of the details are fleshed out there, but this is a workplace injury that happens in Raleigh, North Carolina. What would be the first things that you would look at and think about when you hear a case like this, Sweet James?
Well, this is in North Carolina, so North Carolina laws are going to apply. Now, in California, workers' compensation would be the sole remedy. She wouldn't be able to sue Katy civilly.
Oh, so, no kidding.
Yeah, that would be, unless it's a third party acting, the exclusive remedy would be workers' comp. So that would be the first thing I'd want to find out. Was she hired by the tour, Katy Perry's tour group? Was she working for them? And if so, then that's going to be a bar here in California. Now, also, this was back in 2014, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if this happened in California and she filed today, she would be SOL.
Oh, and there's a statute
SOL,
on losing
toes? Statute of limitations. And that's only 2 years here in California. Now, North Carolina, it's three.
Okay, all right. I wonder why she waited so long. I often wonder why people wait so long to file lawsuits.
I'll tell you why, because they want to resolve it before going to a lawsuit. So I'm assuming they've been in contact with Katy's team and the legal tour group and try to resolve this, and they obviously come to an impasse. Probably because, typically good claims get settled. They get done. And there's no reason to go to trial. So here there may be an issue that is going to be under workers' comp only. And they're saying, hey, we're not responsible. We hired you. You're covered under your workers' comp.
All right. James, I know you're not a doctor, but what would be the first things that would run through your mind about the quality of life difference in somebody going forward with 9 toes versus 10?
That's a good question. And all of my clients, we call and discuss with them how it affected their lives. Often I encourage my clients to have a journal Like, I'll get a journal and somebody will tell me, hey, this morning I couldn't wake up. It took me 20 minutes in a hot shower so I could bend over and tie my shoes. Mm-hmm. I can't pick up my kids. I want to know exactly how it has affected their lives. That's what I want to know for her. Obviously, it affected her yoga. She couldn't probably balance. Running is probably difficult now. There's probably a lot of things that she can't do that she used to be able to do.
No plus soccer.
Cute shoes.
Yeah. Cute shoes. Oh, that was the first thing Allie thought was...
Give her all the money.
So, is there... I mean, every case is different, James, but is there some sort of scale on body parts? Like,
yeah.
I don't... You know what an arm is worth? What's a toe worth?
Let's take a guess here. So, now, in workers' compensation, there's no recovery for pain and suffering. It's simply your loss of capacity to compete on the open market, your permanent disability.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Each state is regulated separately, so there's no uniform numbers. So, let's play the game here. What do you think a toe is worth in California? A big toe.
Big toe. I'm giving her $200,000 for a big toe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say...
Under workers' compensation. This isn't going to be in the civil arena, which I do.
Okay. That does make a difference, yeah.
We're just going to go workers' comp. What do you think it's going to be?
I'm just going to say... I'm going to say $25,000, James.
Pretty good. Let's go with $6,000 for a big
toe.
It's not even worth losing a toe for $6,000.
I don't think she did this on purpose.
Now, North Carolina is a little different. Go ahead and guess for North Carolina.
Oh, it is different from California. See, I would think that California would be more, but you said... I don't know. You think North Carolina is more or less, Allie?
I would think less, but then again, I said $200,000.
Yeah.
All right. Don't listen to me.
Let's say $4,000 in North Carolina.
Let's go with $32,000.
Wow!
What?
So if you're going to lose a toe, get on a plane in California and fly to North Carolina.
Why are toes more important there?
It's legislation. There's really no rhyme or reason. Usually it's political expediency, something where people get together and they just whip out these charts and there you go.
How about that?
In the civil arena,
okay,
it would be a lot more in California than North Carolina, more than likely. And there would be a bunch of factors that need to come into play there. So typically, loss of a toe in California, anywhere from $100,000 to $500,000.
If you can do civil and not just workman's comp. So if this had happened in California and Ms. Fish had called you, James, this is the kind of case you would have taken?
I would have to find out if she was working or not, because if she was, it would be workers' compensation only.
Gotcha.
There would be no recovery.
All right. Well, at least it gives us a barometer of the ballpark, if those aren't mixed metaphors, of how much a toe would be worth. We were debating this all day yesterday, trying to figure out what the answer would be. So, Sweet James Bergener, thank you so much for your advice on this. We appreciate it. The website is sweetjames.com. Same deal on Twitter, @sweetjames. And you can call James if you need a personal injury attorney at 800.
By the way,
what?
Real quick, before the number.
Yeah.
Tweet just came in. Holy crap, that attorney can speak to me all night. Wow, what are you doing to these ladies?
Oh, he's got a voice, doesn't he? 800-881-2021. And every Wednesday you can hear James on the Petros and Money radio show. So we'll look for you this afternoon. Thanks, James. Good talk, sir.
Thank you.
What a thrill, you guys. First, we have Sweet James on the show a few minutes ago.
Sweet James.
And now, Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show, and of course, the captain of the worst Trojans football team of all time.
Fight on!
The season of 1999, he is in, ahead of his Bachelor in Paradise recap with Ralph Garman with a college football breakdown. First of all, P, what's going on with all your health concerns and issues, all your surgeries? How you feeling?
My head is good. I got my stitches out yesterday. Check it out, Allie.
Oh, it looks great.
Look at that. Yeah, that's you go to a plastic surgeon when you get something on your face done.
I have been telling you to get that mole looked at for years.
Yes, you were first.
Yes.
And I realized I became very self-conscious after you brought it up, and I stared at it for years. It's all I saw. Started seeing like a ding-dong on the side of my head, and they dug it out. And then I got a vasectomy. Same day.
That was a one-two punch.
Not the same doctor,
Not the same doctor.
Okay.
No, I'm doing great. I'm walking a little gingerly, but things are fine.
Well, good. Good to see you. Now,
please don't laugh when you see the pee. I can barely walk, but I'm still a G.
Oh, my gosh.
Stayed up all night, prepared that one.
I actually wrote that when I had my first radio show. It was about a hemorrhoid, but it still applies.
It does
apply.
It does.
So, P, you are, besides hearing you every weekday afternoon on Fox Sports Radio AM 570, your LA Dodger station, you have a very busy, and you and your partner Matt are both very busy during the football season. Of course, now he's the voice of the Chargers.
Yeah.
And you are doing what for college football this year?
Well, same as usual. I do my games for Fox. Fox, FS1. We do college football games. I travel around. We do Pac-12, Big Ten, Big 12 games. We have a game in Texas at 9 a.m. Pacific. On Saturday, Austin, Texas, Hook 'em Horns, and they are hosting the Maryland Terrapins.
And you're going to that game.
Fear the Turtles. Not only am I going, Bean, because I wouldn't just sit in the stands and watch. I'd rather poke my eyes out and feed them to red ants. Oh, sure. But I'm going to call the game with Justin Kutcher and Mark Helfrich, who was the coach at Oregon last year. Really nice man and very knowledgeable guy.
So and Austin has escaped the brunt of this Hurricane Harvey, right? Austin's fine.
A lot of the players and the families are very affected. And obviously Texas is doing their best, and it's one big state. So I think we'll have a lot or some on it on the broadcast for sure, and a lot of interviews about what's going on. Yeah.
How good is the Pac-12, Pete?
It's down. But the two teams in the Pac-12 that are good, one of them's going to make it to the college playoffs. So the West Coast will have a great white hope, so to speak, a Conor McGregor. But I'm not sure how it'll play out. It's going to be Washington and the North, and Washington is really good. Washington is
better than Stanford.
Stanford doesn't have the quarterback that I believe in right now, and Christian McCaffrey, their great running back, has moved on. So Washington's got probably the best front seven, at least one of the top two in college football. They have a reliable quarterback. They have two good backs that I like. They have good receivers and a returning offensive line and a great coach in Chris Peterson. They are solid, and USC has San Clemente, Beach Culture Jesus, Sam Darnold, playing quarterback. So those two teams, I think, will play in the Pac-12 championship game in December, and the winner will go to the college football playoffs. So we'll have a representative from the West Coast.
All right, you said something to us about Sam that I was a little shocked by. He's your favorite USC player.
Of all time.
Of all time.
He's right now, he's in a tie with Todd Marinovich.
Okay.
I love Todd. I love Todd.
Really?
I grew up idolizing
Todd in the good years.
I still love Todd Marinovich. Todd Marinovich is a wonderful guy. And there's no doubt he has problems, but he's a good person. He's a great artist. I've commissioned his art over the years. I've bought his paint. I love Todd. He's a wonderful person.
Not predict that.
No, I love Todd. I mean, you know, the guys I grew up watching, you know, it's hard to... I mean, my dad used to take me into the USC locker room when I was, you know, 8, 7, 9 years old, and we'd hold hands with the players and pray before the game. So when you have that experience as a young person, guys are like giants. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Yeah. It is creepy.
Okay.
Yeah, when a grown man's junk is waving in your face and you're 9 years old and you're singing Fight On, and people are crying. Yeah, it's terrible. And then they would bring in, like, this guy was a hostage with the in Iran. And they'd come in and be like, you guys go win. And it was the 80s, dude. It was crazy.
So, P, I want you to answer Allie's question about Sam Darnold. Now we're off on a tangent here.
What's so special about this kid?
So what was... Okay, let's do that first. Why is he your favorite player of all time?
He's a great quarterback. There's a lot of quarterbacks in college football. I mean, they're born and bred. There's quarterback camps. There's quarterback gurus. There's quarterback people that'll make you into a quarterback, manufacture you like the $6 million man. Darnold's none of those things. He was a volleyball player and a basketball player in high school. He was hurt, I think, his junior year, so he didn't get a lot of recruiting attention. And he's just kind of raw and pure in that way. San Clemente is not a place where a lot of players come and transfer in. They're a great program, but they have a motto, one town, one team. It's all the kids that grow up together. They play together. And Darnold is just special. He does special things. There's a lot of guys that could walk in the room, look great, is what I'm saying. You know, look beautiful. Look like, wow, that guy can throw the ball a mile. He measures out well. But Darnold distributes the ball in a different way. He makes plays in a different way. He's creative. He's a boogie boarder, for God's sakes. And he's a front runner for the Heisman. I mean, there's no doubt he's a transcendent player at USC.
And you bring up boogie boarder because that affects it. He's got great balance.
No. Just for those of you that know the difference between a sponger and a surfer, Darnold is a sponger and he doesn't care what you think.
All right. So being a sponge is a good thing. But he is unbelievable.
It's actually not. Opposite. But he doesn't care. That's what makes it good.
He
touches his double over.
I mean, it's sweetie.
He has unbelievable accuracy, though, at great distances, right? I mean,
there's no doubt.
He threads a needle.
There's no doubt. And he gets the ball, too. If you want to get football tech, Bean, if you want to get down and dirty.
I do not.
I'll get down and dirty with
you.
I'll get ugly with you, brother.
No, I'm just saying.
USC has had a bad problem pinpointing one wide receiver over the last, like, decade. So one guy gets 100 catches, and the next guy gets, like, 30. It's not balanced. It wears out that one player. By the time that guy gets to the NFL, his body is toast. And you have a bunch of five-star recruits at SC that aren't seeing the football. All of that stopped. A decade of that stopped with Darnold. He would throw it to you if you were out there, Bean.
That's fantastic.
Knock your head clean off, but he would throw it to you.
I would not catch it, but I appreciate that he would throw it
to me.
And
that has spread like wildfire in the USC offense where everybody is getting opportunities because of this one guy.
All right. I don't want to eat into any of your BIP time, so let's talk UCLA for a minute because they also have a good team this year.
Well, they have an intriguing team. I don't know if they'll be good or not. You know, they have some good players. Jim Mora is definitely on one of the hottest seats in coaching. Josh Rosen is a guy who's a lot is expected from. He's a good-looking player with a lot of great mechanical tools.
And he has a lot to say.
He's an interesting kid. I really didn't have a problem with the articles he did this year. I had a problem with the ones he did last year. He came off looking spoiled and like a punk in those. But this year he was much more thoughtful. He's had his third now offensive coordinator in 3 years. He hasn't had a bunch of receivers flocking to go play with him like at USC with Sam Darnold. So it's really a mystery.
And, you know, that's a tough road.
Texas A&M is coming into town, and that coach is also in a hot seat. UCLA does not have an easy schedule, but there's no doubt they could turn it around, Bean. I mean, they've done it before, and this guy is a special player. But their offensive line, it's not just him. You know, the offensive line needs to be better. They have to catch the ball. Defensively, I think they're fine. You know, they have to develop a running back that wants to hit people with his face. You know, they didn't have that last year. They didn't have that physicality. So they're a big question mark to me. But USC is definitely the big dog in town right now.
All right. Last question. Who wins back Pac-12, Washington or USC?
They're going to be different teams by the time they come to the
one of them's going to win.
If somebody gets hurt, what happens? You know,
so you can't make predictions now?
I'm going to say if Sam Darnold's healthy and still moving, SC is going to win that thing.
Okay. All right. We're saving that tape. We're going to come right back. P is sticking around. It's the Bachelor in Paradise Report. A very dramatic episode last night. The Corinne interview we've all been waiting for. We'll discuss right after. Radiohead.
Yes, that song right there.
I mean, they could have ended it earlier. That would have been a choice.
Noise either.
7:38. Welcome to the Kevin DeBeat Show here for Wednesday morning. Wait a second. Hold on. Petros is here.
Yeah.
Ralph is here.
Hey.
That must mean it's time for the BIP report. Hit it, Steve.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Gardman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in a Paradise. It's so nice. It's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in a Paradise. Ralph and Pete make the sacrifice. Come on. Are so dumb. So Ralph and P, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill?
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Makes me feel like Sebastian the Crab, that song.
Yeah, under the sea.
Two big episodes on ABC Primetime this week. Two BIP reports here on the Kevin DeBeat Show on Q-Rock. Tell us about last night, boys.
And we're doing a live in-studio Bachelor in Paradise
Love it.
Report.
Yeah.
We're just like Chris Harrison, live in the studio, getting to the bottom of things.
Except my hands are so big.
Stop it. Last night was marked the return of Daniel, the Canadian. Everyone loves Daniel, the Canadian.
He's gone from worst to first.
Right?
He was despised universally. Nobody knew what to do with him, and now they're all scrambling for him.
He's the king of paradise. Lacey, who's awful, by the way, she can't leave the show fast enough for me.
She looks like Pee Wee Herman with long hair.
Right, she does.
That's a look.
She loves Daniel. She's been waiting for Daniel to show up, and he's back. And no one knows how important Daniel is to the show more than Daniel.
Paradise isn't the same without Daniel. It's like Christmas isn't the same without Santa, you know? Indian food isn't the same without curry.
That's right. Mm. He's the curry to their Indian food.
He spends 2 years doing sit-ups and writing jokes.
Just waiting. And then he's waiting for the call. He's talking to all the girls because he's a fresh meat. And he sat down with Kristen, who P and I both like. We like Kristen.
Yeah.
Coming and going, we mentioned yesterday.
Old Scallop Fingers.
Old Scallop Fingers herself. He sat down with her and discovered that she was a virgin. That is another claim to fame that Kristen has.
I don't really know much about Kristen other than she's a virgin.
I mean, it's always nice to try to date a virgin because then you can have some experience besides some STDs.
Right? Oh. No STDs with a virgin. That's the upside.
I guess.
You got scallop fingers and no STDs.
Is that the first thing you go? No, is that the first positive about a virgin?
Maybe with the Canadian medical system, maybe that's what you have to base your dating on.
Why is she a virgin?
Why is she a virgin?
Yeah, you know, I mean, she's a good looking.
She has chosen not to share that with anyone yet.
Well, she shares it with everybody that she's a virgin. It's what she leads with.
No, I mean, sharing that with anyone.
Oh.
Yes.
Ralph pointed at his mid-carriage.
He does that. He does
his mid-carriage.
And, you know, Daniel needed to get his date card. And it was delivered in an interesting way last night. The luchadors showed up. A big pack of luchadors showed up to deliver his date card.
Yeah, a little lucha libre.
Not everyone knew exactly what was happening. Kristen certainly didn't.
There's these guys in these sumo suits screaming and running and flipping over mattresses. And I thought it was the guys, but it was just some randos. I had no idea sumo wrestling was a thing in Mexico.
Yeah.
Sumo.
She's adorable. It's not really sumo wrestling.
No.
Wow, she is stupid.
She's very dumb.
If she doesn't know the difference between mat wrestling like they do in the Midwest, the fake wrestling like we have out here with the WWE guys, and what they do in Japan and the sumos, and then lucha libre down south of the border. If she don't know the difference between that, she can take that virgin body and take it back straight back to hell or wherever she's from.
I don't think she's from hell.
How could she? How could she do that?
Daniel needs to find someone to take on the date, so he's going to talk to all the girls because he doesn't want to settle, or as Daniel put it,
I don't want to put all my chickens into one egg and let it hatch into, I don't know, a dinosaur.
Right? You don't want that to happen.
You know that old expression.
You don't want your chicken egg to hatch into a dinosaur.
I got to hire his riders.
You know,
that guy's awesome.
You know who else came back last night, P? Tickle Monster.
Oh, with his big-ass
hands.
His
big Tickle Monster hands.
You would love this guy. You
Why?
Make a face at the Tickle Monster. If he was in here, you would melt. You would melt for the Tickle Monster.
Why? That's his job?
He's
Tickle
a catch.
Monster?
No.
No, he's a family doctor. He's a doctor for kids.
Infant doctor.
Oh, I remember this
He's like
guy.
A child
okay.
doctor, but he also loves the tickle. Something very strange about Jonathan.
Both of you would love that. You would die for the Tickle Monster.
No, I
would not.
I don't know about, about that.
If I gave you a room key, it was like the Tickle Monster's at the Mondrian. You'd look twice and then duck into a car to go see the Tickle Monster.
I don't understand.
I'm telling you.
I don't understand the appeal of tickling or the Tickle Monster.
But he's a baby doctor. He saves babies' lives.
But then he's tickling on the side. He
part of the treatment.
Tickling on the side.
He is. He said, you know, I'm like Clark Kent and Superman. I'm like the doctor in the day, but at night I'm like tickling.
No!
Yeah, it was
and his
very
hands
strange.
Are big and long, like Nosferatu, like long, like like he's got long ass hands, and he just can reach you from so far. Like you think he's at the hip, but his fingers are right on your hip.
I think you want to go to the Mondrian.
I would,
okay,
here's just to feel the tickle. I mean, you know, who has a chance for that kind of experience?
Here's Chris Harrison welcoming Jonathan to the show.
Jonathan, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Doing great. Paradise. You're a little late to the party.
That's what I hear.
But you're here. What's it going to be like walking in here?
They'll immediately know me at the Tickle Monster, and I'm sure there's some girls down there that are just waiting to get tickled.
Yeah, are they?
Down there.
Are they? Asked Chris Harrison. He brings up a good point.
He's got no time for that.
He had the little hands on the fingers.
Well, that's the thing. Tickle Monster takes little hands and puts them on his fingers, so he's got like multiple hands on his fingers. And then he went on a date with scallop fingers. And they were feeding each other scallops with the little hands on the ends of their fingers. Got very perverse.
It's a freak show.
You know what else was sad? You know, Christina, the Russian war refugee orphan.
Yeah, it's a tough life for her.
You remember her from Nick's season. She was
born to suffer.
She was born in war-torn Bosnia or something, or somehow she ended up in a Russian orphanage.
Her mother neglected her where she was eating lipstick.
Yes, and she was abandoned and sent to an orphanage and then adopted by an American couple.
Yes, only to be dumped by Dean.
Dean was making out with D-Lo in the pool right in front of her. And
out or just kind of hold, like doing the, they were practicing like the Swayze hold.
There was a lot of body movement.
Yeah.
But there was kissing as well. Either way, it was disrespectful and Christina was very sad. And this is, you know, this was the low point for her when she said this.
Right now, I think the orphanage was better than paradise.
Oh.
You.
Yeah.
Wow.
The cold cement floors of her Russian orphanage were better than Bachelor in Paradise
for
her.
That's the saddest thing that's ever been said on this show.
The worst part is the producer that said, hey, what was worse, the orphanage? That's the guy. That's the guy that should be put
down. Would you rather eat more lipstick since your mom, when your mom left you by yourself for 3 days, or watch Dean make out with D'Lo? What would you rather have?
Crazy thing is she's now been deported. She was a spy.
Right, yes. She was trying
to
build
rid of her.
Trump Tower in Moscow. Apparently she was part of the deal. And the last half hour was just interviews, and Chris Harrison sat down with Corinne to talk about the stoppage of production, DeMario, what was going on there. You know, a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors were swirling when they stopped production.
Did you get a lot out of that, Ralph?
Didn't get much information, P. I didn't know much more by the end of it than I did at the beginning.
Certainly not.
Now, we're past all that now, though, right? They're fine with each other. They're fine with the show.
She's
now
got a boyfriend, though, somewhere, hanging around.
Here's what she claimed. She claimed that she was drinking too much, but she also said she was on some unnamed medication. They didn't say what it was for or what it was.
Hot rails!
But she said it interacted with the alcohol and caused her to be not of sound mind.
All right. Not as responsive as she would have liked to have.
She said they thought she was lucid, but she didn't know nothing.
She said she doesn't remember much of what happened.
And that's how I feel almost all the time.
Right.
But Chris Harrison, I think, did the right thing and asked at least about DeMario's actions, what her opinion was in this important question.
I guess one of the most important questions, in your opinion, in Paradise, do you feel like DeMario did anything wrong?
I honestly don't feel like he did anything wrong, especially because, you know, everybody thought that I was just, you know, having fun and being Corinne. I mean, there's no way for you guys to know that, like, she's, like, mentally checked out. Like, Corinne is not here right now, you know, which is beyond scary. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
So she's not responsible. DeMario's not responsible. No one bears any responsibility for anything that happened. And we can all go about our business and enjoy watching the train wreck that is Bachelor in Paradise.
Wow.
All
right. So no one bears any responsibility.
Nope.
Wow.
Good to know, right?
I'd like to be on Bachelor in Paradise.
That's it?
Where my actions have no repercussions. I like that.
So no one was wrong?
No, apparently not.
That's the takeaway. Hey, P, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, P.
Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome, Bean.
It's the BIP Report.
All right.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Imagine Dragons on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, another quick reminder, Fallout Boy in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. All you have to do is get to KROQ.com and enter to win passes to see the band in the HD Radio Sound Space at K-Rock September 7th, which I think we determined is a week from tomorrow. So if you want to see some Fallout Boy for free in a tiny space, hosted by Stryker that afternoon with the band Fallout Boy, that's where you go, KROQ.com. All right, Ralph Garman, you're up. What's going on?
Well, new animated series in the works, starring John Cena. John Cena's got a new gig. He's going to be doing one of the voices for the lead characters in a new RedTube. It's a very different very video site. YouTube Red has a new animated series called Dallas and Robo. Story of a sassy female space trucker named Dallas and the self-proclaimed warrior poet called Robo.
Oh, that old story.
Yes. So it's Dallas, the space trucker, and her friend Robo. Cena will play Robo. The voice of the sassy female space trucker?
Mm-hmm.
Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls.
Yay!
It's a waste to have just Kat Dennings' voice in anything.
But she has a lovely voice.
She does have a lovely voice, but she's got lovely
acting ability.
Hands.
No. I don't know what you mean. I think that's on that other channel, too.
This is unnecessary, and this is my thing. I understand the need to take a stand against white supremacy and to tear down these tributes to the Confederacy, which was an army that largely stood for racism and slavery and hatred,
and declared war on the United States. By the way,
they were our enemies. Absolutely, yes. So I'm on board with all that. However, can it go too far?
Yes, I absolutely believe it can go too far.
For example, the Orpheum Theater has announced that they have canceled for the foreseeable future their annual screenings of the 1939 classic Gone with the Wind. Every year, the Orpheum Theater airs Gone with the Wind in their theater and has a big event where everyone gathers and watches it on the big screen. For the past 34 years, they've been doing that. But now they've decided they're no longer going to show the classic 1939 Oscar-winning film because it has racially insensitive content.
So does Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
We're not getting rid of Blazing Saddles. There's got to be a line where people just say,
there's a difference between a statue to a Confederate general and a piece of art that takes place during that particular conflict.
Absolutely.
So that's dumb, right?
It's super dumb. And that's the movie that Hattie McDaniel won an Oscar for, right?
Yeah. Right.
So let's just
first
ignore...
African American actress to win a Best Supporting Actress.
Right. So let's boycott that achievement. Why don't we?
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing I've read all day, and I read a lot of dumb things.
Yeah.
So that was just ridiculous. And Justin Bieber's testicles got some people in trouble, right?
Oh, that's Chip's new band?
No, this is Justin Bieber's nuts got a woman fired. There's a woman who worked in a hospital emergency room on Long Island, New York. She was fired for allegedly looking at Justin Bieber's medical records when he came in because of a sore testicle.
Well, was she the doctor?
She was not the doctor, but she didn't look at his testicles. She just looked at his file, the hospital claims. He came in for a twisted testicle, which... Now that's a good band name. Which apparently happened while he was playing soccer. And Kelly Lombardo was the name of the nurse. Actually, she's not even a nurse. She was just one.
What was she doing? Just walking by the files?
No, she works. She works there at the hospital.
She refills the Coke machine down the hall.
No.
Seriously.
She works at the hospital. Her bosses say that she accessed his chart because they believe she thinks she was trying to find out if Justin was there for a sexually transmitted infection.
Okay,
none of her goddamn
woman?
Business.
Perhaps that she was trying to cash in on that information. However, Kelly says she didn't see the chart, nor did she look at the chart. She didn't even know Justin was in the building. And she can't understand why she lost her job. She's suing now for wrongful termination. She says they fired her because they believed that she was looking at Bieber's chart because she's a young female who was likely curious.
Something
but she says that was
story.
Not the case. Yeah. And by the way, in case you're curious, Justin did not, in fact, have testicular torsion, which is the twisting of the testicle.
I've had
he's
that.
Fine.
Anyway.
He's, what now? Oh. What? Excuse me. Now what happened?
I've had that. I've been to the doctor for that exact same thing for that pain, and it has been torsion.
Balls. Don't you have to use them in order to twist them?
I can't explain it. All I know is it happened. It did not feel good.
How do they untwist them?
I don't remember now what the...
I feel like that would stick with you.
I don't remember now how they fixed my twisted testicle.
I don't recall.
I would certainly remember that.
I don't remember.
I got a dislocated shoulder once. I remember every moment of that stay in the hospital.
I think it was... I feel
and
like...
And that's more important than my shoulder.
I feel like they just sent me home like it was a waited out kind of thing. I think they just gave me something for, ibuprofen for pain and said, you'll get better. There's nothing wrong.
Fake news, okay? You're fake news.
Just saying I have sympathy for Justin on this one. That's all. It does not feel good. If it gets to the point where you're going to the doctor because it hurts a lot.
You didn't have it.
I absolutely
You didn't have it. This is your broken hand from shaking hands with that dude. That's what this is.
No, that guy crushed my hand.
Yeah. And you went there, doctor said, what's wrong with that? Get out of my hospital.
Beat it, tissue face.
Oh, I have torsion in my testicle. They said, oh, really? No, go home.
I really
That's what
did.
Happened. You are the boy who cried wolf.
You can ask my wife. She will tell you that. She would remember more details about it than I do. But I'm saying I had it. I'm glad that lady didn't steal my medical records.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Louis Black, one of the greats, 69 years old today. Truly one of my comedy heroes. Very few people make me laugh as hard as Louis Black does.
Wasn't he one of the emotions in the Inside Out film as well?
He was. He was Rage.
Oh,
appropriately.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. He's a great actor, too. Does a lot of good work. Not Ally's movie, but other things.
Unaccompanied Minors is a
He doesn't even list that on his IMDb.
Michael Chiklis is 54. Speaking of good actors... And Cameron Diaz, who also appears in films.
Yes. Like the Holiday?
I was doing good actor one, too, and then I got to an actor.
She's wonderful in The Holiday.
Oh, stop it with that movie. She's 45 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
1 hour from right now, Allie, we talk to your friend Michelle Beadle.
Can't wait.
I love what she's doing, by the way, this auction she has with proceeds going to Hurricane Harvey victims. It's very cool. Very cool. And Ralph did such a heartwarming story earlier about all the stars, Sandra Bullock and Beyonce and all the companies that have teamed up and J.J. Watt and everything he's doing, all the money that's being raised. It's just it makes you feel good about something that's so negative. You know?
It really brings people together. It's sad that it takes, you know, destruction like this to make people realize we're all in this together, but it usually does.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to Michelle. And by the way, if you've not yet done your part and you have 10 bucks, just 10 bucks that you can spare for the American Red Cross, you do us a big favor if you would text the word Harvey to 90999. It takes like 5 seconds and it really does make a difference. This time yesterday on the show, we had actor Sean Hattasy on the program. And man, I love that dude.
Yeah.
I love him personally, and he is phenomenal as an actor. As I said, if you were listening yesterday, you heard me make a plea to Emmy voters. Remember this guy when you're filling out your ballot, because he has done some of the best work I've seen on television all year long as one of the co-stars on Animal Kingdom. And this has been an amazing season, and there was a scene that you brought up with him on the phone yesterday, Allie, that I think is a great jumping off point to a phone topic with our listeners. You're dating somebody. And it gets to the point where I guess the relationship is serious enough that you start sharing things and maybe you've got some baggage. You've got a little something you need to get off your chest. But at some point, like in this case, you know, Sean Hattasy's character Pope decides he's got something he can't live with anymore. He's got to get off his chest and he's got to tell his girlfriend about, I don't know, a tiny indiscretion in his past.
I hurt someone. A woman I loved. I loved her. I did it anyway.
Did what? What did you do?
I thought she was gonna hurt my family. I put a pillow over her face. And I held it there until she couldn't breathe anymore.
And what was his girlfriend's reaction, Allie?
She backed up real slow and then just said, get out. Yeah, Amy wasn't so much listening to the I smothered a woman I love story with open ears.
No. It didn't land great for her.
No.
She looked at the future of that relationship and she thought, you know what? I might have other choices.
Yeah.
Why so uptight?
Why so uptight indeed, Chip? Thank you. So that's a deal breaker, I guess, if your boyfriend comes to you and says, by the way, I guess I should have brought this up, but I did smother a lady once.
Yeah, for me, that's a deal breaker.
But why do you automatically assume he's going to smother you, though? Maybe he got out of his system. Maybe it was just a one-time deal. Maybe he's not dangerous at all, man. A brother can't get the benefit of the doubt?
Bean, you're not really having this conversation with me.
So that's a deal breaker for everyone, then, is what you're saying.
I think it's probably a deal breaker for everyone.
You too, Chip?
Yeah.
Wow. No wonder you're single. I mean, seriously. Uptight indeed. So that's the topic on the table. You found out something. How should we characterize this, Allie? Should it be, does it have to be a terrible thing? Or it's just a deal breaker, right?
A deal breaker, yeah. Deal breakers aren't usually, oh, he gave me everything I wanted and I trusted him so much. It was just too much.
I'm out.
Yeah, that's not a deal breaker, Bean. So it tends to be pretty terrible, I think.
All right, so you're dating somebody and I especially am excited about the relationships that have been going on for years and then the conversation happens. But whatever your situation is, we want to hear from you. You're dating somebody and they come to you with a Pope-like confession. Please don't let it be I killed anybody. We don't want to hear I killed anybody because we've been to court for that before. But I'm just saying, they come to you and you find out 4 years in that they're married or that they have another family. Or that they did 20 years in San Quentin. I mean, these are the kinds of stories that we're looking for, right? Bad surprises after you've been dating somebody for a long time.
I dated a guy. I don't even know how it happened, but I found out a year in that he was a vegan. Oh. So it was pretty bad.
So that was over,
just
right?
Just kidding, vegans.
So you rubbed bacon on his nose and kicked him out. So 1-800-520-1067. What was the deal breaker? What did he or she come to you and say after you had been dating for a long time and it was bad surprise time? That's the topic. You can text or call. Same number here at the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. I'm a little bit nervous, but a little bit excited. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Taking your call. What? What happened?
Don't look at line 7.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Stephanie.
No, Stephanie. No.
Stay on hold, Stephanie.
No. Should we talk to Stephanie?
No, we need time with Stephanie.
All right, we need time with Stephanie. Let's talk to Megan then. Santa Clarita, line 1. We're talking about, if you're just joining us, you're dating for a while, and then he or she drops a bombshell on you. Maybe something they could have brought up a little bit earlier might have been better for you, and you're surprised, and it's not good news. Megan, what happened to you, my dear?
So I was dating this guy for about a year and a half. I had just turned 18, started dating. He came home from the military, and about a year and a half in, he tells me that he's married.
Oh.
Yes. So it actually all kind of worked out. He got married. He married one of his friends in the military because she was gay. And at the time, it was a don't ask, don't tell situation thing going on in the military. They were getting ready to kick her out. So,
then he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Yes, he is. So
that's hilarious. That, I mean, there are so few scenarios where your boyfriend turns out to be married and it's not bad news and he's not a scumbag. But in this case, I think he gets a pass.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're married now 13 years later. So,
ladies and gentlemen, that is a beautiful story, Megan. Thank you so much for calling. 1-800-520-1067. They're not all going to be happy endings, especially when you hear what Stephanie has to say in Orange County. But we'll take her and the rest of the calls right after some Foo Fighters now on K-Rock. Right after we get through these calls, by the way, we're going to clear the lines, open them up, and give you a chance to call in and win tickets for the USC, I almost said UFC, the USC home opener against Western Michigan at the Coliseum this weekend. You can win those Trojans tickets in about 5 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Before we go back to the calls, Allie, you got a tweet.
Yeah, this is from Sick Pimp. He said he broke up with a girl after finding out she was breastfeeding her son, who was 6 years old.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Sick Pimp.
All right.
I mean.
From the 559, girl, this is a girl I dated, confessed that she had done 3 years in prison for online harassment of her ex-boyfriend. I said, bye, Felicia.
No.
So this is what we're talking about, is you were dating for a while, and then he or she tells you what, and it's not good news. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with, that's not the one I'm looking for. Here it is. Callie, please. Callie in Inglewood, line 4. This is your soulmate here, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Callie, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I was with somebody for a couple years. He just moved into my house. And then about a week after he moved in with me, told me that he was expecting a child with someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now look, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. When would have been a good time to bring that up? And that's a tough conversation to have, right?
It is, yeah.
So what was your reaction?
I kicked him out, and
wow, chicks are so uptight.
Yeah, it's weird when you're with a guy for a long time, and then all of a sudden he's expecting a child during that time frame. It's weird.
It is.
Yeah.
All right, Callie, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Alex, Studio City, up next, line 4 on the Kevin. Five on the Kevin Beecher. Hey, Alex, what's going on?
Hey, not much, Kevin. Long time listener, love your show.
I can tell.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. You had the bad news, or you received the bad news?
Turn your radio down.
Okay. I had the bad news. Right. You know, like I was mentioning to the screener. You know, I don't know if it be constituted for a long time, but it was definitely like one of the longest relationship, not relationship, but almost dating episodes I'd had. It had been like almost 2 months. And pretty much I had to let her know because it came up. We were at a bar and she asked me, why aren't you drinking? And I said, well, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic / addict. And then all the questions started. Oh, really? Like, what did you do, et cetera? And, you know, I didn't want to lie. You know, I was really feeling like, hey, things are heating up. I need to be able to be honest with this girl.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, you know, I used heroin for most of my 20s. You know, I've been in and out of treatment. But, you know, I'm clean and sober today. you know, I'm working an active program. I'm trying to really, you know.
And how did that land, Alex? Once she told her all that, that you were in recovery and that you were doing fine, did she stick around or was that a deal breaker for her?
You know, she pretty much stopped contact with me. And all of a sudden, you know, I texted her like, hey, is this about, you know, what I told you, you know, and I tried to explain, like, look, I can't really explain the kind of person that I used to be, but I can speak on behalf of the kind of person I am today. And, you know, she said, I understand. I just think our lifestyles are just too different. You know, you're not quite what I'm looking for in terms of the kind of lifestyle that I want to be able to live.
That does hurt. But, Alex, I think in the long run, you dodged a bullet. Because someone that just doesn't want to stop, you know, partying and doing all that in front of you, that's whatever.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Issue with her doing that even in front of me. I mean, right. I had no, like, hey, as long as you don't bust out with a spoon and a needle in front of me, which I suspect she wouldn't,
exactly.
You can go ahead and drink in front of me. I got nothing against that.
Thank you for calling, Alex, and sharing the story. By the way, I bet that's a universal for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people have been into that where, you know, look at the large percentage of people who have had drugs and alcohol problem over the years. You're going to run into people like that.
Built-in designated driver. That's a dream.
It's a sweet deal.
Right?
All right, are we ready to try Stephanie?
I think so.
All right, now, Stephanie's calling us from Orange County. Now, Stephanie, we understand a little bit of your story, but there's a lot that we can't say on the radio, so we have to be very careful. Well, can you at least start by telling us about the relationship? Like, how far in, how invested were you in this person?
We, with my then boyfriend, we were dating for 8 months, and we actually met at the restaurant that I frequent more. So for our 8 month anniversary, he was like one of those type of people. Oh, let's celebrate it. He took me back to that restaurant. And during that time frame, I've always wanted this Chanel purse, so he had purchased that as my anniversary gift.
Okay, that's a great story.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
This is great.
I was hoping it would end there, but it doesn't. All right. So you're having a conversation at dinner about how you're going to celebrate this anniversary.
Well, I thought that he was buttering me up when he told me what he would like for me to do, but inside of the purse was our anniversary card, and he had wrote in the card, would I be willing to...
Okay, wait. How do we navigate these waters here, Allie?
Would she be willing to give him something not on the menu that nobody should ever have in their mouth that should be in a toilet?
Correct.
How's that?
Yeah, because I did look up from the table and I asked him what did he want.
He wanted the number two on the menu. That's what he wanted to eat.
Stephanie.
Sweet Jesus.
Stephanie. That way to ruin not only your dinner that night, but my breakfast this morning.
I hope you took that purse and just hightailed it out of there.
I did ask him, is this something that you are into? And he said, actually, it's very common in the BDSM community, which I did Google afterwards because I was not aware.
And you had so much time on your hands because you were now single.
Yes. I did confirm what I'd be able to keep in the handbag.
Okay. I wish this call had never happened. I wish you had never been born.
Stephanie, I'm glad you were born, and I'm glad you got that purse, girl.
I guess that's the takeaway, is we're glad you got the purse. We're glad you got out of the relationship. Thanks for calling.
Who's hungry?
Giveaway, Kevin. I mean.
You don't even know which one I am.
What the hell's going on?
Long-time
listener.
I thought it was just that caller. Yes, giveaway. Thank you, Chip. How about tickets to USC home opener against Western Michigan at the LA Coliseum is this Saturday. We are looking for football fans. Allie, anything else we want to say before we open up the phones here?
I think you should just be aware of, like, the USC Trojans. Be aware of what teams are.
All right. Who are the
How's
teams?
That?
What are the schools and what are their teams called? We're looking for football fans. You want to be there in person at the Coliseum this Saturday. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on K-Rock. Right?
Right.
Right. How about a pair of tickets to USC's home opener? It is time. By the way, Petros Papadakis, who knows some college football, was in with us last hour. And he says he expects USC to win the Pac-12. It'd be great. Versus Western Michigan, home opener at the Coliseum this Saturday. You can buy your tickets at usctrojans.com, or you can win them right now with a game that we like to call Real Team or Fake Team.
Real Team or Fake Team.
cocktail. Thank you, Omar.
I feel like he had been on a roll.
I do, too. It makes me miss Stephanie's poop story hearing Omar's intro. All right, Allie, you are hosting the game. Our callers are set and ready to play. What's going on?
I'm going to give you three team names. Two of them are fake. Just tell me the real team.
Well, that sounds pretty easy.
And I think these are very easy if you are not stupid.
Okay, well, let's find out. We'll start with caller number one is Edward. He's in Norwalk. Hey, Edward works for Anheuser-Busch. We were talking great things about your company earlier today, Ed, about how they're making water instead of beer and sending it to Texas. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, congratulations. All right, listen up. So Allie's going to read three names. One of them is real. You tell us which one is the real team.
All right. Okay. Is the real team the Horned Frogs, the Hairy Toads, or the Blistering Tadpoles?
The Horned Frogs.
That is correct. TCU. Good
well
job,
done, Edward.
Edward.
You're in the drawing. Hang on for the tickets. Let's go to Whittier up next. Manny's on line two. Hey, Manny.
Hello.
Good
hey,
luck.
Manny. Which is the real team? Is it the Retrievers, the Huskies, or the Pugs?
The Huskies.
Yes, the Washington Huskies.
Two for two. Eric and Chino up next, line three. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good luck.
Hey, Eric, no pressure. Is the real team the Chartreuse Chipmunks, the Magenta Moles, or the Golden Gophers?
The Golden Gophers, Minnesota.
Although I would enjoy very much a team called the Chartreuse Chipmunks.
Me
I'm not going to lie. Let's go to La Mirada. Let's say hi to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, what's up, man?
How's it going? It
says here that you're retired?
Retirement.
Oh, you're in retirement. Okay, you're not retired yourself. Because I was going to say, no reason to be up this early if you're retired.
No, definitely not. Not yet.
All right, listen up. You're playing for USC tickets. Here's Allie.
All right, Ryan, which is the real team? Is it the Rootin' Roosters, the Gamecocks, or the Clucky Chickens?
The Gamecocks.
Yes.
Right again. Thank you for calling. Thank you for playing. Jesse Southgate up next, line five. Hey, Jess.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. All right, the real team. Is it the Red Wings, the Kings, or the Ducks?
The Ducks.
The Oregon Ducks. The only good Ducks. You're right, Jesse.
Let's go to Chelsea, L.A., line six. Wow, so far, clean sweep
hey,
here.
Hey, good morning.
Chelsea, don't screw this up, man. Don't make us look bad, all right?
All right.
All right, is the real team the Cornhuskers, the Shuckers, or the Huskers?
The Cornhuskers.
Yes.
Right again. Thank you. Let's try Steve, live seven.
Steve?
Hello?
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Sorry to wake you. Listen up.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Which is the real team? Is it the Pesci's, the Utes, or the Gambinis?
The Utes.
There it is. All right.
See, because there was this movie and Joe Pesci was Vinny Gambini.
Yeah, we got it.
Real team or fake team?
Final contestant is in Azusa. This is going to be Rob. Hey, Rob.
What it do, nephew?
Hey, there
Rob.
You go.
Is the real team the Beavers? The Platypus, or the Nutria?
The Oregon Beavers.
There
Oregon
you go.
State Oregon State Beavers.
Oregon State,
good.
Yeah, well done.
Excellent.
All right. Look at that. Clean sweep.
I
Rob.
Told you. There, unless you're stupid, you're not getting these.
Steve and Rob and Chelsea and Jesse and Ryan and Eric and Manny and Edward all in the drawing. I think our celebrity name puller is going to be Dave the King of Mexico from the other room. Dave, who's the winner of Real Team or Fake Team, please?
Manny!
Right on. Right on, fight on. USC home opener, Western Michigan at the Coliseum Saturday. Thanks for playing Real Team or Fake Team.
Real Team or Fake Team.
From Sports Nation on ESPN, Michelle Beadle joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. She's doing she's got a great idea. Was this her idea, Allie?
Of course.
This auction for Hurricane Harvey victims, I love it so much. So we'll talk to Michelle about that coming up after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Did you guys get your Springsteen tickets?
For Broadway?
Yeah. You got them? I got mine.
Are you serious?
Sure. I just registered with Ticketmaster. Boom.
Uh-huh.
Got an email saying you're currently on standby for Springsteen on Broadway. So I'm just standing by, and I'm sure any minute now they're going to call me, and then, boom, I get my tickets.
I don't think that's how it works.
I think I'm standing by.
That's what they told me to do.
You need to be standing by online.
I was and am standing by.
Okay.
I did see a bunch of happy people this morning, Because seeing Springsteen, you know, in a venue that small is amazing. But then I also saw a lot of unhappy people, too.
Yeah, actually, you're currently on standby for Springsteen and Broadway means that you did not get one of the codes in order to queue up and to buy the tickets. But if everything opens up, we'll get back to you real soon. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry about that.
But, Ralph, you're not going to know the answer to this question, probably. But how are so many tickets already on the... on the secondary market for thousands and thousands of dollars, which is the whole point of this verified fan ticket thing, was so that that wouldn't happen.
It cut down on that significantly, but there's no way to beat them completely. You can't.
You can't beat the bots.
Look, there's 32,000 tickets for the entire run, and some people did get through and were able to pre-register either under their own name or an assumed name and were able to get tickets and then put them up, or sometimes they just... put tickets on sale that they haven't even acquired yet, but they think they have an access to it somewhere down the road. So,
right.
Top ticket, by the way, face value is $850.
Oh.
That's stiff.
Sure, for a concert? Yeah, that's a lot.
But you are seeing him in a tiny little venue.
Yeah, I think this is a once-in-a-lifetime sitch.
But people are saying Hamilton was $850 for the top-end ticket.
Holy cow, I had no idea it was that much.
Yeah, but they're saying that's a three-hour musical with production and a big cast and everything. This is a guy on stage with a guitar for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But maybe...
Comparable?
Maybe he'll tell some stories?
I think he will.
Possibly.
We know that he does.
About walking...
Here's the thing.
On the boardwalk.
Probably with that girl that was on the phone about her boyfriend's... Probably got
Stephanie,
one of those stories.
Yeah.
Stephanie, yeah, he's got one of those stories. Some people also, and I think this is bogus, are slamming the boss by saying, "Oh, he's supposed to be the working for the working man, and the working man can't afford $850 to go see him on Broadway." Is that a fair cop? Is that a legitimate criticism of a musical artist who has traditionally put himself in line with the working class roots of America?
How much is the cheapest ticket?
Does not say here, but I'm guessing probably around $100. I'm guessing.
I feel like you're good.
I also think he has certainly made himself available to fans, particularly in the New York City area, for decades, where they've had the opportunity to go see him either at Madison Square Garden or at one of the stadiums or something like that. There's been a chance for people to afford to go see Bruce Springsteen if they wanted to. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I don't really ever blame someone for putting a price on their work or whatever that they think the traffic will allow, you know?
He is a dick.
No, Kevin. First of all, you're dead. I don't even know how you're talking to us. Second of all...
punch him in the face.
Robert De Niro, how did you get in this conversation? I think that you're not under obligation to give it away for free. You know what I mean? I think you, in different formats, in different ways, you can still reach your audience.
I think
get him out of here.
This is a totally separate situation. This is him on Broadway.
It's a unique
You've
situation.
Never seen him like this before. Super intimate, that type of thing.
Right.
If he does have the chance to do something one day, like Prince, when he did that 21 show run at the Forum, and I was getting $25 tickets,
right.
That was the coolest thing in my life and something I'll never forget. Asshole. Well, no.
I think that was Bean's point, is that he's given a lot of people other
Absolutely.
Opportunities to see him at stadiums or ballparks, whatever,
this
where you can
special.
Get a reasonably priced
and
ticket.
And you're going to pay a little more for something special.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm still standing by.
So if you were to
imagine going to get a hold of me anytime now.
If you were lucky enough to walk back to your computer after this report and get the good news from Ticketmaster, would you just then just plan a trip to New York around that?
I'm already in New York when he's in the run.
Oh, that's right. Same
I will
times.
Be performing Hollywood Babylon on Broadway with Kevin Smith.
Wait, on Broadway?
Yeah, we're doing Caroline's on Broadway.
Caroline's
the
oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
So Kevin Smith and I are performing Hollywood Babylon in New York in early November during the Springsteen run.
I mean, it's perfect.
It is perfect. So I think I'm going to have to get tickets somehow.
Oh, that's right.
I feel like between you and Kevin Smith,
well, that's my secret in.
Someone.
My secret in is Kevin has actually worked with the boss before. They worked on a charity event together for relief for Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, excellent.
And so Kevin believes that he may know a guy who knows a guy in traditional Jersey fashion that might be able to smooth the path towards getting some tickets. Allie, stop making that gesture.
Sorry.
That's wildly inappropriate. And
I'm just saying, that
HR.
Could probably get you some tickets.
That's all I'm saying. So I'm thinking I'll be there.
I feel good about it.
I do, too. I think there's an opportunity.
Maybe we can talk to the boss tomorrow, see if maybe, what he has to say.
Maybe he can give me some tickets. Maybe I can talk my way in. And here's another reason to hate Taylor Swift, right? As if
How
you need one.
Dare As you?
As if you need one.
How dare
Since
you?
Since she stole I'm Too Sexy for her new song.
She didn't steal it.
Look
she
What You Made
the,
Me Do.
She used the beat and gave the people co-writing credit.
It was
That's
a preemptive.
It.
It was a preemptive check.
It
that
wasn't.
She wrote in order to be able to steal a song and make it awfuler.
She made them the co-writers of her number one hit.
Yeah. Well, here's the good. Here's the reason more to hate her. Because of the success of this song, Right Said Fred, the original band who did I'm Too Sexy, is releasing a three-track I'm Too Sexy EP tomorrow. It will have a re-recording of the original hit, plus two additional remixes that are new of the hit.
You got to capitalize, though.
Come on. Do we need three
we
new versions of I'm Too Sexy
I don't
by Right Said Fred?
No. Don't blame him.
No, we don't need any of those.
Right. All. Thank you, Taylor Swift. Good work. Nice work. And plus, Hurricane Harvey, too, right?
That wasn't her.
That was her.
That's her work.
I don't believe
it
was.
It is.
Ralph, I don't know if you caught...
God's tears.
Caught wind of this conversation in the office yesterday, but did you hear that Taylor Swift and her attorneys had my podcast pulled down from the internet?
Yep, sure
did.
Did
you see that?
Laughed my ass off, by the way.
Of all the people in the world to come at me, Taylor Swift, wouldn't you say that I have been on her side largely since the beginning?
Yep.
Like, I am a fan.
Certainly now you know. Now you know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That there is no fans, there is no friends, there is only Taylor. There is only her.
And it was very confusing because I had on a guest, the wonderful writer Randy Lewis from the LA Times, to discuss Taylor's her new song and her career. And I used 22 seconds of her new song in complete fair use, as far as I can tell, by the way.
No,
we're discussing her new song. I played a tiny piece of it to discuss it with my guests.
Now you got bad blood.
Apparently,
but
I do.
Mad love.
5 minutes after the podcast went up, has been removed due to content, blah, 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 from Taylor Swift. I'm like, she and her people shut me down. I'm on her side.
I hope she sues you for every penny you have and wins.
Shake it up with a bean.
Alex.
I'm just saying, you've got to get over it.
Now she's going to sue you, too. I'm going to end up in a Denver courtroom somehow. I'm not happy about it.
I want to be in that jury. I'm with her! I would just scream from the back row.
Can I be the court artist?
Yes. You can do the pastel drawings of Bean's just hangdog face wearing his Temple Grandin shirt, just being all upset there in the courtroom.
It's the worst courtroom ever.
With his ponytails. Imagine Bean just looking like a clown. Just
first of all, they're pigtails.
The
I'm not a ponytail guy. I'm a pigtail guy.
Pigtails.
But second of all, I got to be honest, it hurt to have Taylor shutting me down because I feel like I'm doing everything I can to support her.
Now you've seen the truth, though. That's how she rolls. There is no one else. There's only her.
That was a tough wake-up call, man.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Cameron Diaz is 45 years old today. Michael Chiklis turns 54. And Louis Black, legendary comedian Louis Black, one of the greats, is 69 years old today. We have no Louis Black tape. We got some Louis Black tape. We got to get some.
I might have some.
You got
something?
Now you're
in the mood to hear his voice, right?
Play a little homage to Lou Black.
All right, here we go.
Just about the worst idea ever.
There you go. Here's one you'll like.
Okay.
Candy corn. Blows.
Come on. He can make you laugh with three words. Because he's so good.
If you're Twittering, you.
I saw him in Pasadena. I forget the name of the theater, but it was a couple years back. It was the last time I saw him. And I was literally cramping up.
Yeah.
My stomach was cramping up from bending over and laughing as hard as he makes me laugh.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you, Lou.
You should watch a great movie he's in.
Oh,
Unaccompanied
would you stop
Minors.
With that? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I was watching the news yesterday, and I saw a bittersweet sight, Allie. You know, I've been a little bit, perhaps dangerously obsessed with this flood situation in Houston. I've just never seen anything like 50 inches of rain. But I saw the sun come out over Houston, and I thought, man, is that a welcome sight.
Yeah.
Man, is that great news for the people there who just need it to stop raining so things can start to drain and then the recovery can begin. But then I also thought that means it's going to be off the front pages, it's going to be off the 24-hour news channels, and people are going to think it's over with, like the crisis has passed. And what they don't realize is that is an area of the country that is going to need help, not for weeks, not for months, but possibly for years. There are places that will never be rebuilt as a result of this storm. So it's a long haul ahead for the great state of Texas. And that's why it has been so encouraging to see how many people who have stepped up. You know, J.J. Watt's getting a lot of headlines for now over $5 million raised. But lots of companies and lots of people have been involved. And one of our own, our friend Michelle Beadle, who's on the phone, co-host of Sports Nation on ESPN, came up with a great idea that we love so much that we wanted to share with the Kevin and Bean listeners so that you can get involved and help this cause too. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you guys? Good morning.
Good morning. You are a Texas girl. What part of the state did you grow up in?
I grew up a little bit outside of Dallas, but mostly a small town called Bernie outside of San Antonio. So most of my life was there.
And do you have people anywhere in the state affected by the flood that you personally know too?
I mean, I have a few friends in Houston. Fortunately, they're doing okay. I mean, it's a mess, but they're okay. And, you know, my family, my dad, my best friend, they're all in San Antonio. And really, they lucked out. They got a lot of rain, but they were predicting much worse situations for that part of the state. And fortunately for them, that has not come to fruition.
Yeah, just bad news for the people who are in the path of it. And I know these storms are becoming more and more common, and you can debate what the reasons are, but I don't think I've ever seen one as bad as this, Michelle. Have you?
No, I love the idea that we can debate what the reason is.
Well, you know.
You know what was scary about this one is, you know, we all sort of have the news on it. At least I do. I always have the news on in the background. It's almost white noise, just in case something happens. And we knew something was coming. I mean, they had built up this Harvey situation. But in the course of about 24 hours, it went from a 2 to a 4. And, you know, people that were trying to evacuate couldn't. People that thought it would be okay to hold out realized very quickly, I think, that this was much worse than they'd anticipated. It's one of those things where I think a lot of us, our first instinct is to say, well, why wouldn't you leave? And then we realize, well, not everyone has it as good as some of us. You know, we can't just jump in a car, load up our loved ones and our pets and move. It's not that easy. And so my heart breaks when I would watch the videos of the older people, the dogs, the kids. And it's just, it's a lot. And it's a rebuild that, like you said, is going to take years.
Yeah.
Some of which will never actually get rebuilt.
Let me tell you what happened on Monday. I'm part of a group text, and it's Michelle saying, I've got the goods, I just need the brains. We have to figure out how I can get all this stuff that I have online, and I'm going to give 100% of the proceeds to a group, which is amazing, called Team Rubicon. And you have everything up for auction, from purses, Louboutins, Yankees autograph ball, Lasorda autograph ball, WrestleMania chairs. And here's the thing I love about Michelle. While she's posting that she's going to do this, she's wearing a Kawhi Leonard hat. And underneath the comments, how much for that hat? So then the next thing you know, that hat is up on eBay as well, up for auction. So this is so close to home for you. But how did you also decide on the Rubicon as the sponsor?
Well, so I think Rubicon for me, I mean, Red Cross is obviously getting mad love, as they should. They've been around for 200 years. So that's fine. But Rubicon is a fairly new organization that was built out by a young soldier who was homing from Afghanistan. And it's such a great idea. They basically just, a disaster happens, they're on the ground.
Yeah.
And they're out there. And so a lot of these guys and women that you see sort of just helping people physically there come from this organization. And they are smaller, obviously, and they are not as, they haven't been around as long. So I figured, you know what, let me just, I have no real affiliation with them other than having sent a DM and they responded and I was like, hey, I want to do this. And they're like, great. So that has worked out. And it's been awesome. Look, I mean, all of us can have garage sales and it's sort of the American way. And I thought, well, the internet is now my garage sale and we can write checks and I can do that personally. But I also think there's a way to get other people involved. Not everyone can or wants to just write a check. But I feel like if you write a check or use your credit card and you're getting a pair of kick-ass shoes in return,
right,
and you're giving money to this, it's a win-win. And I'm so happy my brother and his girlfriend were able to help me, because me staring at a computer with all the stuff surrounding me was sort of a depressing sight. I had no idea how to do it.
Yeah, so, there were lots of words that shouldn't have been said.
So, Michelle, is this literally stuff from around your house? I mean, did you have these WrestleMania chairs in your garage? Really?
Yes, finally being a hoarder has paid off. I was waiting for the day when this would actually kick in. But, yeah, I've been holding on. Those wrestling chairs go back to like 2011, I think. Any big event that you go to, if you're sitting in the first two or three rows, you get to take the seat with
humble
you after
brag.
It's done. So.
Right?
Yeah, I know, right? And I've used them. There's like, whenever I have people over and I run out of chairs, they're like great chairs.
All right. Well, there you go. That you should put that in the description because Michelle sat on them. I think we just put $100 on them.
We know what you're saying.
Was it tough to decide, Michelle, to let go of the Spurs championship banner knowing how much you love that team?
Yeah, the best. So that's the one real decoration I have in my awesome cubicle at work. My brother was like, "You don't want to sell everything," and I'm like, "Dude, worst case scenario, it's all replaceable if I really, really, really miss it. But nice. I feel like it's going to be okay." And you know, I know that as a Spurs fan, I would want that if you have like a chick cave or a man cave or whatever, because it's such a cool thing to have on your wall. So I figured, even if it gets $100, that's $100 that helps somebody. That's perfectly great.
This is a fantastic idea, Michelle, and we're so happy to be able to spread the word. So let me tell people how they can find all this stuff. And by the way, even if you're not into sports memorabilia, as Ali said, so many shoes, so many purses. I mean, there's something for everybody on this one. So the eBay fundraiser for Hurricane Harvey, you just go to eBay and type in the search Beads Team Rubicon. Just remember any part of it, and it will come up. Beads Team Rubicon, and you'll get page after page of stuff that you can. And I think your auctions, what, they run 4, 5, 6 days, something like that, right?
Yeah, I think it'll end, I guess, on Monday. And, you know, if it ended today, we're up to about 10,000. I think you max that. Wow. It's pretty good.
Fantastic.
Good work. So I'm very happy for everyone to help out.
We'll see you on the Sports Nation. Thanks so much for jumping on, Michelle. We love you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday morning, just ahead of Ralph's Showbiz Beat, by the way. Real quick, Son of Monster Palooza is happening at the Burbank Convention Center. Ralph, these are your people, the people who are in the horror movies, right?
I love the nerds, the geeks, and that's a very specific subculture of people who are just horror movie fans, aficionados, but they're a great group, yeah.
They really are, and they have makeup demos and 150 vendors with creepy collectibles. I know you love the collectibles. Stars from Halloween, from Species, from The Thing, from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, it's really a great convention that goes on every year. The Son of Monster Palooza, Marriott Burbank Convention Center, the weekend of September 15th. If you want to go, we want you to go. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20. Win your tickets from The Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
That's my monster.
Wow.
Is that your Frankenstein's monster?
You know, there's going to be a lot of cosplay this year at Monster Palooza. Mm-hmm. You know what? You know what's going to be the big one, you think? What do you think?
I would imagine, what's her face from Suicide Squad, right?
Wrong!
No? Okay.
Not at Monster Palooza.
Oh, she wouldn't be monster. Okay.
She'd be at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. What monster are people into right now?
Bill Skarsgård is the new It.
Oh.
The new Pennywise.
Yeah, of course.
And it's a great costume design, a great makeup design with that big forehead and those lines that come up, the red lines come up through the eyes and the teeth.
He's a really handsome young man, and I just...
He's terrifying.
I don't want to have to hate him.
That costume is going to be the cosplay at all the horror conventions.
It'll be it.
Yes. Halloween as well. Oh, that's my Halloween costume.
It's got to be. Yeah.
The kids come to the house to get candy. I'm like, come on in. We all float down here, Georgie. It'd be awesome. We were just talking not too long ago about the tickets and Ticketmaster and Bruce Springsteen performing on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And this new plan that Ticketmaster has, which is called the fan registration.
Mm-hmm. Verified fans, right?
Right, where you let them know who you are and you set up and you get in line and then... They figure you're not a scam artist. You're not some sort of scalper. And then they put you in line to buy the tickets, and they figure if more fans can get them this way.
I mean, it's a worthy goal.
I appreciate the attempt. It's them attempting to try to weed out the bots and the stuff that make it so hard for most of us to buy tickets and stuff. So that's a good thing. However, now Taylor Swift is being called out. Because she is in this deal with Ticketmaster, mm-hmm. where supposedly fans can sign up for her verified fan deal with Ticketmaster and get tickets to her upcoming tour.
As I did, as soon as it became available.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You can get boosts
with Taylor Swift that will put you, it'll nudge you a little bit further up in line. Or maybe you'll get a little bit higher than the other person if you say, I don't know, buy her $60 snake ring that's plated with 24 karat gold in her merch section on her website. Oh, you get a little boost towards tickets for her concert. Or maybe if you download multiple copies of her album Reputation, you'll get another little boost, which will put you a little bit further up in line, so maybe you can get tickets to her tour.
Does this seem unethical at all?
It's a scam.
Yeah.
And she has become her own scalper.
Yeah.
She's putting money on top of the price that you would have to pay to get a ticket to her concert by having to buy all this crap merchandise and buy multiple copies of her album.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right.
She's a criminal.
She should be in jail.
Yes, she should be arrested.
Yeah.
And prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Death penalty?
That's what I'm thinking.
Murder.
Right?
Got it. Yeah.
Lethal injection.
I agree.
That's the only solution.
Pop star Taylor Swift is the latest in a long line of celebrities peddling death.
Well, it doesn't seem fair that people with more money are going to get a better place in line to get tickets that should be open for everyone.
That's the premise of fighting against the scalper thing.
It sure is.
That's the reason the verified fan program was put in place by Ticketmaster. Yeah. Mashable's headline, Taylor Swift's Ticketmaster scam is why she's capitalism's favorite pop star. Leftet's letter, their headline, it's a Ponzi scheme. Swift is a greedy, hypocritical bully. BuzzFeed calls it disgraceful.
Bean, your mic working?
Bean, is this on? You there?
Is
Bean gone?
No, I'm here. I'm here. I don't like hearing people say bad things about Taylor. But I also worry that I may not be able to get tickets for the next tour, and it does concern me a great deal.
But can't you see how this is a scam?
I don't think it's a scam because I think it is out there in black and white explained on the website. This is what happens. I mean, it's not like this is a secret that was uncovered, that was something that was trying to be hidden. I mean, she's basically saying, yeah, the people who...
The more money you spend, the better chance you have of getting a ticket.
Yeah, it seems like a pyramid scheme.
Exactly. I don't love it. I would prefer that it did not happen.
You don't even get a ticket. You get a chance to get a ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the bitch of it all, is that you don't even... Look, you want to say, look, you're my super fan, you want to pay $1,000, then you can get a guaranteed ticket. This is you get maybe the opportunity to maybe get in line to might be able to buy a ticket
if you spend
a bunch of money on my website.
You don't want to get to 10 snake rings down the road and then still not get tickets, right?
How many hoodies you buy?
Just the one. I mean, I don't need more than one.
You really bought a hoodie, didn't you?
I have a 1989 hoodie, too.
You're the worst thing.
I'm a fan. I like
You're
Taylor
the
Swift.
Worst person.
You know how much I like Taylor Swift.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift.
Thank you, Rodney.
Beyond cute. She's really tall. You know, she's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
Well, she might. What's your point? Murder? Is that your point?
If you've missed my point by now, you just ain't been listening.
You're on board or you're not on board with the plan?
Let's talk about a good band, shall we? U2.
U2!
Just dropped a new song minutes ago. About 45 minutes ago, they dropped a new song, a single off their upcoming album, Songs of Experience, which will be out soon. I don't know the exact date. I know we got a single. We got another single coming on September 6th. I don't know when the whole album will be available.
Yeah, this is a taster track, and then next week they're coming out with the official
first single.
So yeah. they're being very generous this week, U2.
It's called You're the Best Thing About Me. That'll be unveiled on September 6th. But this song, Blackout, just a little taste of new U2 music. The video's out there on their Facebook page. It sounds like it was recorded and played in front of a live audience. And look, I'm a sucker for this band. I like pretty much everything they do, so you can't judge by me, but I dig it. Here's a little taste. Right?
Don't put that on my phone without permission.
Oh, man.
I love them.
I'm going to wake up and see that on my iTunes.
Yeah. Remember when U2 was giving away their music for nothing?
So mad.
Taylor Swift is, you got to buy her snake ring. Why does Taylor Swift have a snake ring in the first place?
Well, you know her thing with snakes right now.
Is this her new thing? Is her snakes? Yeah. She's got
because
snakes?
All of Kanye's and Kim's fans were responding with the emoji of snake on her Instagram and Twitter.
Because she's a snake?
Because she's
after
a snake.
That little Snapchat thing, mm-hmm. Yeah. Look,
oh, my
I don't,
God, get over it, girl.
That, I agree with that. You know I think she should ignore this and move on to something new. But here, I'm going to say we need to dig a little bit deeper into this Boost thing that's happening because we are getting all sorts of texts right now, Ralph, at 1-800-520-1067.
Oh, good.
Like this one,
what's going on?
This one from the 714.
Yes.
Not to defend Taylor Swift, but Depeche Mode and Queens of the Stone Age did this exact same thing that she's doing on her website now before.
Were they selling snake rings?
It doesn't say snake rings, but the same kind of deal where you buy merchandise and this boosting thing apparently existed before Taylor. It was not on my radar before. Imagine Dragons also had a boost thing when he the 714 registered to get tickets.
Well, that's BS.
These are all good bands.
That's the one point.
That's
but the
not
other
the point,
point
Allie.
Is also
oh, sorry.
That's sell tickets or don't sell tickets.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. all. What, you're not making enough money with your couple hundred bucks for a ticket at a tour in a big stadium?
How did we just have the guy that created this from Ticketmaster on, and he neglected to mention any of this?
We didn't know there was a back door or entrance into the ticket line.
Yeah. I certainly
literally
didn't either, yeah.
Bend over.
I don't know if merchandise was involved in Linkin Park, but this listener from the 572 says they had a social interaction factor where you move closer to the front of the line if you email or tweet or Facebook their Linkin Park links and share their songs and things like that.
Well, that stuff's so, free.
Yeah, I have no problem if it's a free thing. If it's like, oh, you know, it's like in the old days, you like fill out a postcard and send it in. It's like a contest kind of thing, right? I get that. Just don't charge me for it. Don't make me pay extra money on top of whatever it's going to cost me to buy your ticket.
I understood.
I don't think you understand me here in this point.
I do.
I am not a fan of being forced to pay extra, being coerced into paying extra money for an item that should have a flat cost to it.
And I mean, didn't have to do that for the Bruce Springsteen.
No, you just had to get in line. You registered and you got in line. I got orked. I didn't get in line, but it didn't cost me nothing.
Right.
Because you could buy the snake ring and still get the email, the dreaded email of, oh, sorry, you're on standby. Yeah. You didn't get in line for the Taylor Swift ticket.
But
now you're stuck with a stupid snake ring.
Yeah. I was going to say, but at least you got the snake ring. You don't see that as a plus. Okay.
No. I hate so much.
Yes, you do.
So many things. You know what I don't hate, though? My new jungle home.
What?
Go on.
I'm buying Mel Gibson's place.
Oh, where's that?
Costa Rica.
Oh.
All right.
He has a 403-acre jungle estate in Costa Rica that he's just put up for sale.
A lot of acres.
He found the place while he was scouting a movie location. I'm guessing it was probably for that...
Braveheart.
Simpatico. No.
I'm kidding.
The Despacito film he made, whatever. Spacalopocalypse. Pacalopico.
Apocalypto.
Yeah, that... That's probably what he was looking around for. But Costa Rica, having a jungle getaway in Costa Rica, doesn't that sound fun?
I don't care.
Come on.
Yeah, I think it sounds fun.
It's got
year-round
tropical weather, a democratic government since 1940,
close to
the U.S., Costa Rica.
I have friends who've been to Costa Rica on vacation, swear by it, love it, say everybody should go.
Yeah, I'm going to get this. This sounds great.
I mean, Costa Rica, it's got to be cheaper than, you know, his Malibu place. I'm going to say you could get that for $80,000.
The estate. Who are you?
What's happening in your brain today?
Why don't you should be a realtor? That was pretty impressive.
Thank you. I nailed it, right?
No, it's a low, low $30 million.
Oh, it's more than $80,000.
Yeah!
$30 million.
Low price of $30 million.
That better come with a monkey.
Several.
Okay.
And it comes with three homes.
Oh, it's a compound.
I did say it was 403-acre jungle estate.
Yeah, it was just a hut on all that land.
It was a lean-to. He had a yurt with a well that he dug for fresh water.
I didn't know there was multiple homes on it. I would have.
Thank you, Jim.
I would have increased my guess to 120 if I'd have known there were three homes.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my moving. So long, suckers. Have fun working, I guess is what I'm saying.
I saw that Beyonce's new house the other day that she bought in L.A. has four swimming pools.
It is the sixth most expensive single-family dwelling ever purchased in the state of California.
Wow. What do you need all those pools for?
Four swimming pools, Allie.
You don't want to swim in the same pool as your husband and your kids.
That's true.
You got to have your own separate pool. You got to have the B pool.
You know, Jay-Z pees.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
At least pees in the pool.
And maybe they have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday pool. Then they got the weekend pool. I guess. Rich people problems.
Yeah, I think, $88 million is what she paid for.
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
They said their mortgage payment is somewhere in the neighborhood of $280,000 a month.
Yeah, they probably paid cash outright.
No.
No?
No. I read this article. They have a mortgage of $52 million. So they put down around $35 million cash.
Interesting.
The mortgage is for $52 million. That's what they owe on the house. 4% interest, 30-year loan. They're paying $280,000 a month. That's their mortgage payment.
Seems like a lot.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's only more than 97% of Americans make yearly.
Yeah.
And that's their mortgage monthly.
Yes.
Just about the worst idea ever.
Thank you, Louis Black, as we celebrate your birthday. You're 69 years old today, Lou.
It's the end of the universe.
You're not wrong. Michael Chiklis is 54 years old and Cameron Diaz turns 45. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, you are, and yeah, you do. Hey, how about a 5 p.m. commercial-free hour? You got it, thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. That will be today.
Beer mug.
Yes,
what's going on with you?
Beer mug. I see you waving your arms. Give me a second. I got to finish the Honda sentence.
Hurry up. The Honda thing goes at the end, I guess, is why
we were all
scared for a moment there.
All right, Muggs, go ahead.
Today I will be at the Outlets at Orange. We're on our second to last stop for the Hot Topic K-Rock Summer Sticker Campaign.
So this is the penultimate stop?
This is the penultimate.
Standing on!
Yes, what Ralph said. And we will be loaded down with tons of prizes. We have Green Day tickets, Paramore, Kings of Leon. And I also have to mention for our podcast listeners out of state, you can go into any Hot Topic around the nation. You go to hottopic.com, print out a mask of Billy Joe, Mike Dirnt, Trey Cool, take a picture with the hashtags they're asking for, and you can enter yourself to win tickets to fly to L.A. and see Green Day.
So. And if you buy a snake ring, we bump you up in the line, too.
That's right.
Is that true? Yeah.
No.
No. Oh. So today from 1 to 3, Outlets at Orange, 20 City Boulevard West in Orange. I'll be there from 1 to 3.
Which stop is this?
This is the penultimate.
Okay.
Muggs, you know what that word means?
The second to last?
Wow.
Oh,
very impressive.
Mugs.
All right. Thank you.
Can you spell it?
P-E-N-U-L-T-I-M-A-T-E.
That's
well
correct.
Done.
All right. Yeah. Two for two.
All right, Mugs. See you in Orange today. Thank you. Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's Thursday. I think you all know what that means. Jim Rome will be on at 8 o'clock talking sports. We'll catch up with Dr. Drew, find out what BS his wife has got him into this week. Got more tickets for UFC football, tickets for the home opener against Western Michigan this weekend, and more It's Screening Passes. All of that tomorrow right here on K-Rock.